about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Who are these crazies, these lunatics that are going to be here? Explain them to me. Because if I'm going to do some kind of a dumb dog and pony show, I'm going to know who I'm talking to.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
And remember, ladies, one night stands may be over by morning, but syphilis lasts a lifetime.
Sometimes you don't know what life is like, box of chocolate, right, Bean?
I really wish you'd learn to filter your thoughts a little bit better. That'd be really helpful.
My morning show has a first name. It's K-E-V-I-N. My morning show has a second name. It's B-E-A-N-N. I love to listen every day, and if I had to, it's what I'd say. You know.
And now.
Okay, everybody take out their thinking caps and rip them up. Then take out your doing caps, because we're going to do something today.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, seems like too much to ask.
I know, it's
a lot
too
of pressure.
Early.
A lot of pressure for a Monday, I'll tell you that.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 8th of April.
Yes, it is. Hey, I just have to ask, with the Clippers-Lakers game yesterday, did you guys have another bet on that? Did you lose more money to Dave yesterday, or you're already paid up for the year?
I don't know. Did they play?
Yes, they did, Kevin.
I believe I still
lose. Oh, there was more money on that this season. You're going to have to move out of your house soon if it keeps going the way it's going. He's bankrupting you.
He's got 10, 12 years to catch up before we're even, though, so I'm fine.
Exactly. All right, speaking of bankrupt, this is a great story. And we've seen stories like this from time to time where somebody loses money at a casino and then tries to talk them into giving it back.
Yeah, that always works.
Of course, we all remember the great, we don't all, but you should check it out if you've never seen the great movie Lost in America, where Albert Brooks's wife, spoiler alert, loses their nest egg at a casino and he goes and makes the pitch. He's like, seriously, it'd be a great ad campaign if you gave us back our money. People would love you.
You'd look like the good guys.
Right. Of course, that doesn't work. Here's a man in Australia, Kevin, and this story is going to blow you away. His name is, I wish I knew how to pronounce his last name. It's spelled K-A-K-A-V-A-S, so it's Cacophagus? Cacavas?
Cacavas.
Cacavas? Okay.
I don't know.
Harry Cacavas. He is a real estate salesman.
Just
who
so
made,
long as it includes the word caca.
Well, that's what I was afraid. That's why it's a difficult name to guess. And his name is Harry. Yes. The story already has everything. He's very, very wealthy selling those ritzy real estates on the Gold Coast.
Right.
In the richest part of Australia. And he also has a serious gambling problem. And he has, for a while now, been gambling. His game is Baccarat. At the Crown Casino in Melbourne. How do you play Baccarat? Which game is that?
I've never
played.
That's
the one you always see on James Bond movies.
James Bond movies, exactly. That's his game, too, right.
I have no idea.
So he was a high roller, and now he's taking the casino to court because he's one of these guys who says, well, clearly I kept coming in, and clearly I kept losing everything, so clearly I had a problem, and you should have seen that, and you should have stopped me. You were taking advantage of me. I have a mental condition.
Wow.
I'm addicted to gambling, and you – I mean, this is the old, hey, you're the bartender. You could see I was drunk, but you kept giving me drinks, right? The reason this story is in the news, though, is how much money do you suppose he lost? And I'll give you a hint. He's suing over losses sustained in a 14-month period. So 1 year and 2 months he gambled in this casino. How much did he lose?
He said he was into real estate and expensive parts. So he must have
he's a high roller. Yeah, very rich.
Dough. I'd say $2.5 million.
That's a pretty good guess.
$2.5 million. Lisa, what do you got?
I'll go with a million. I'm going under.
$1 million.
Yeah.
Okay. But aren't there a lot of people who lose like $1 million at a weekend and it's no big deal?
I don't know. I don't know anyone like
I don't know.
All right. $5 million.
Are we low? Is that what
I'm
you're saying?
I'm going up. $5 million.
7.5.
Well, it's not that you're low as much as it's $1.5 billion.
What?
Is how much he lost in 14 months. Over $100 million a month.
Wow.
What?
That guy could singularly make that casino.
Yes.
What, he should have just bought a casino.
He could have bought the casino.
Yes, exactly, Lisa. He should have just bought the casino,
and
right.
And then they would give him back his money every night.
Wow.
It's staggering. It's the amount of money that's almost impossible to wrap your head around. And by the way, look, I understand addiction. That's, the definition of addiction is you're doing something you can't stop. But If you've lost $100 million this month, do you go back next month and lose another $100 million?
No, because I don't have $100
million. This is, but see, here's where the gambler's mind kicks in, and you go, I lost $100 million last month. I got to get it back.
I'm due.
My luck's got to change.
Yeah, right. You don't think you're going to go lose another $100 million. You think you're going to get your $100 million back.
Yeah.
Then you're down two, and then you go, wow, now I really got to go back.
In a single session in May 2006, he lost $164 million in just 5.5 hours, betting up to $300,000 per hand.
Oh,
wow.
He was so rich.
I'll bet he got so free drinks. You think? Yeah.
They
probably comped him a drink or two.
I bet they comped him a drink and sometimes a room.
Is he completely out of money now?
It doesn't say in this article how he's doing. I mean, for all I know, he still has money to play. I don't know. But he, you know, his argument is that you knew I was a gambler and you continue to let me bet. And it's in court right now. It's in front of the court in Australia right now. So I will be very curious to see.
I can't imagine they would come to any other decision than, dude, you have free will. It's not the casino's fault.
They'd be bad businessmen.
That's
if
right.
That guy were turned away.
You know what?
Crazy.
That guy that's going to bring out $170 million this month.
Yeah, let's not let him in.
Let's not.
Let's not send him out.
No.
Well, anyway, $1.5 billion in 14 months, you guys.
Wow.
So,
stunning.
Good times.
Wow. Man, he could have just spread that around and.
Yep.
Made a lot of people happy.
So much money off of that money.
Yeah,
too, if he'd done something else, invested it somehow.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It is shocking that someone with your instincts is working here.
That's true. We have highlights of April Foolishness.
Yes,
we do.
Got so a
recap
much fun
from Saturday night. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
We have Carlton Cuse from Bates Motel. I don't know if you've seen that show or not yet, but it's fantastic.
I just caught up over the weekend.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. He is the producer of the show, and he has done other shows we love, like Lost. He's one of the smart ones, so we're very excited to have him on the program.
Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell.
Yes.
He's on the program today. We're talking about Scary Movie 5. We're going to talk to Lux, Miss Double December.
Yes.
She's got a new photo shoot that's going up today, so we'll tell you all about that. And we have your 3-day passes for Coachella coming up.
Excellent.
And the 3-day passes for Coachella are before 7 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
So keep listening for your chance to win. We will take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beatnik.
All this week on K-Rock, your last chance to score a pair of sold-out 3-day passes to Coachella. In fact, we're going to have those for you between 6 and 7 o'clock this morning. So next hour, your chance to win. If you're desperate to go to Coachella, you are listening to the right show. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph. What's going on, man?
Well, it's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Evil Dead was number one for the weekend. However, not by much. Didn't perform nearly as well as they thought
really?
It would. Made $26 million this weekend. Good enough to make it number one, but just a hair ahead of G.I. Joe Retaliation and The Croods, which both came in at a second place tie with about $21 million each. Jurassic Park, re-released in 3D, did very well for itself, considering it's just a re-release. And everyone has seen that film, $18.2 million. For the 3D version. Olympus Has Fallen was fifth. Then Tyler Perry's Temptation, The Oz, a great and powerful movie, $8.2 million made it number seven. The Host, The Call, and Admission rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Oh no, it looks like Lindsay Lohan.
Now what?
Has dropped her current boyfriend.
Lucky bastard.
Musician and promoter, Avi Snow. It just didn't work out. They were together for like 8 minutes. I can't believe they didn't give it a bigger shot. They split up when she got back from Brazil. I guess he saw those bruises and said, wow, who you been banging?
How long would you guys like to date Lindsay Lohan if you could? I would
an entire evening.
Yep.
One night. I was going to say 7 to 10 minutes would really be all I'd be interested in. But beyond that, I understand why no one sticks around.
You would not utilize Ms. Lohan's full potential.
No,
that's why you only have 7 minutes. I would need at least an evening.
Okay.
And, Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean.
Yes.
I need a woman.
All right. Doto's on the list, too. But I got to go before Doto. Just as a general rule. Back to you.
Good rule. She'll be on Letterman tomorrow night, by the way, plugging her Scary Movie 5 appearance, which opens up this weekend.
That's the one she wasn't coming out of her trailer for or whatever?
She's not coming out of her trailer.
That was the Canyons, actually, that one, yeah.
She wasn't any box of chocolates on the Scary Movie 5 set either, from what I heard. However, she will be attending the red carpet world premiere Thursday night, and then heading to Coachella, Kevin, so you can hang with her there.
Fantastic.
You can party with her this weekend at Coachella because, you know, she won't go into rehab until she gets her Coachella fix.
Now, well, we do have Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell coming in later. I don't know if he had any scenes with Lindsay in Scary Movie 5, but maybe he can tell us something about that later.
I don't believe he did. I think just she and Charlie Sheen recreate the Paranormal Activity film. That's what they do in that film. Halle Berry has announced she's pregnant. Doesn't it seem like just Halle Berry's constantly just surrounds her life with this drama and nightmares? She doesn't want to have no more babies for me. I'll never get married again. Well, her and her fiance, Olivia Martinez, are having another baby. And, oh, I guess I will get married. No, my fiance punched my ex and, oh, babies. Rah, rah. Her whole life just seems like just a maelstrom of just crap.
So, after Greg.
Congratulations, Hallie. I hope everything goes well. And Matt and Trey, creators of South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, have announced that their next Broadway musical, of course, they created the smash hit Book of Mormon, which is just a juggernaut. The rumor has it that their next film is going to be a Broadway show based on Scientology.
I knew you were going to say Scientology. That's awesome.
Good luck.
They're going to be killed. They couldn't even replay the South
Park
about it.
They're murdered in their sleep.
Now, the Mormons never tried to kill them, right?
No. That's not the Mormons' role. They get you in the afterlife.
Game. Whoever the Scientologist will take you out.
Tom Cruise apparently has heard about the plans and is worried that he may be the center of some of the jokes. I don't know why he would think that. It's not their way to make jokes about Tom Cruise.
No, of course not.
And or Scientology.
Of course not.
Just because they said he wouldn't come out of the closet. And Amanda Bynes wants us to know that not only Leave Me Alone, of course that's her big one, as she walks around New York City in wigs, stealing hairspray.
Bumping into things.
My latest favorite one, she's staying at the W Hotel in Times Square, and they found her in the gym there at the hotel, curled up in the corner, smoking with no pants on.
My God. Yeah. How did you not call for mental help at that point?
She's a party in a box, that girl. She's telling us now...
No pants.
That... Leave her alone because she has an eating disorder.
Eating disorder.
I gain weight quickly, so I need to work out constantly, she told Us Weekly magazine.
Is that what she was doing in the corner?
I guess so. And then on Thursday, she tweeted, I have an eating disorder, so I have a hard time staying thin.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I guess we all do. I guess we all have eating disorders then. But she said it isn't a mental illness because she tweeted... Right after that, saying, I'm suing certain blogs and magazines saying I have a mental illness. So, she doesn't have a mental illness.
Okay.
She said while smoking in a gym, curled up with no pants on.
Sheesh.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bo Duke himself. Bo Duke. Oh, those Duke boys. John Schneider celebrates his 53rd birthday today. Izzy Stradlin of Guns N' Roses is 51. Julian Lennon, son of John Lennon, is 50 years old.
Is he really?
John Lennon's son is 50 years old.
It's crazy.
We live in crazy times. Biz Markie. Oh, we got to get a little You Got What I Need for later on today, don't we?
One of the worst songs. One of the best songs ever. One of the worst songs ever.
Greatest. What are you,
not
what are you
song.
Nuts?
His version is one of the worst ever.
Best ever?
Yeah, but because it's bad.
Oh, you just don't.
No, I'm with you. It's
you
great.
You just don't.
Okay.
He's also one of the stars of Yo Gabba Gabba, by the way. Biz Beats. My wife, who didn't know who Biz Markie was, watching Yo Gabba Gabba with my daughter, Olivia. It's her favorite show in the world. He's like, now it's time for Biz's Beats! And he shows the kids how to do beats. And she said, why would they have a retarded person on the show? And I said, honey, that's Biz Markie. He's not mentally deficient. Actress Robin Wright is 47 years old today. Patricia Arquette turns 45. Actor Taylor Kitsch is 32, and Ezra Koenig of Vampire Weekend celebrates his or her 29th birthday today.
His.
I'm Rob Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It is Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got Red Hot Chili Peppers coming up, also Walk the Moon and the Black Keys, and of course those Coachella tickets later in the hour. We want to thank everybody who joined us Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, another sold-out, successful April Foolishness. You know, we were talking about it off the air, Kevin, before you got in. Every comedian was so great. I mean, I know that's why we picked them for the bills, because we know how talented they are.
But I don't think that it's not like you go to a, you know, like a Weenie Roast or something like that where maybe you don't like one band.
Right. And you know that going in. Right.
Everyone seemed to like every comedian, which was just so fun. What a great night, with the exception of a couple of minutes right at the start of the show, which was a little bit of a hiccup. Maybe.
Damn you.
Hiccup, nothing. It was all downhill from there. How do you top how the show started?
So the Armenian comedian was our idea to open the show because I why did we do it? In retrospect, I'm trying to figure out how we made that tragic mistake.
Here's the thing. We love him and a lot of you hate him for the exact same reasons. We're not denying what you hate about him, which is that he's not funny. But we find him so not funny that it's entertaining. So
he goes all the way back around, like we say, right?
Exactly.
On that wheel.
So he came walking out with not really any introduction, grabbed the microphone, and we all took bets in the office on Friday how long he would last. Because while the crowd is in an unusually good mood and wants everybody to be funny and they laugh and they're there to have fun. And when he walks out, that's not necessarily the case. So we were wagering, perhaps, in the office on how long it would take before Bean and I would have to pull him off the stage. And I want you guys to – Bean and I didn't hear the whole thing because we were running backstage. So – I'd like to play for you now, Sam.
Excellent.
Yes.
This is how April Foolishness started.
Great.
And wow. Wow. He may have secured an opening spot for his life.
Hello, April Foolishness. I'm Sam Darmy, comedian. Whoa. Whoa.
Now, people are already booing.
Right.
He just said he's an Armenian comedian, and they start booing.
Well, we hear from listeners all the time, and maybe we're just not good broadcasters if we don't take this seriously, but they tell us when Sam is on, they punch out. They go to another
wrong.
Radio station when we're speaking to him, yet we continue to have him on.
They're wrong. He's so good. Listen.
You know, the other day I was walking down the street, and I saw a drunk driver hit by a car, flipped over down. And then he still get up, he walked. You know why? He was drunk. All his flesh was loose. Hey.
What was that? What was that hey?
Hey.
You have any idea what that was? Okay. At least we understand the joke. Or not the joke, but the sentence.
You're right.
That I don't understand the joke, though. Why was it, his flesh was loose so
well,
he could walk
he
after
means,
an accident?
It means that your muscles.
You know, when you're drunk,
your muscles
you're just relaxed.
Relaxed. Yeah, that's,
oh,
that's
I
what
see.
He meant. It's not a joke.
Not
but,
at all.
Okay.
But then when the crowd didn't.
And by the way, let me mention this, because the way this is recorded is they're recording the mic on stage. The booing is much louder if you're actually there.
Yeah, it was.
It's just not being picked up. That mic is mostly just picking up Sam's voice.
But what he, you know, this is how he comes back to the crowd that's booing him now.
Hey. I bet you if he was stoned, he will be die. No, just kidding.
What? I'll bet you if he was stoned, he will be die.
Oh.
Which, of course, means he would be dead. And then he follows that up quickly with, no, just kidding. Which is what that's how all the best jokes end.
My new resolution for this year is don't get drunk and drive, but get stoned and drive. Because when you drunk, the world is wobbly.
Physical.
That's
comedy.
Why you swing around and the cops gets you. But when you stone, man, the whole thing is natural. It won't even move. You'll be just woo cruising, and then you'll be going, holy shit, am I still here? Because that's what happens to me.
Ha ha! Ha ha! That's how you know the end of a joke.
Listen to the people. Boo! So now Sam knows he's losing the crowd, so he starts to go to his aim material now. And this is, Bean and I are on the side. When do we stop him? When do we go out?
Yeah, we know
you're
that we have the
late.
Right. We know that we have the responsibility to use the hook, but we're trying to give him a chance. And yeah, who knows? Sam might come out with something that slays the crowd next, right?
Hey! What's up with you? Wake up! The world is crumbling.
Okay, so he's upset that people aren't laughing, so he chastises them to wake up. And I'd like to suggest they were awake. They just didn't find it funny.
The best way to get somebody to laugh is to yell at them.
Hey, wake up! And then he follows that with the sentence, the world is crumbling.
There's a guy in the audience right when Sam said that. He's like, yeah, just like your act.
The world is crumbling. That's what he went to.
You know what? I was born in Ethiopia, Africa. I ran away from the hunger, drought. Animals were dying. My father says, communist is coming. Let's get the hell out of here.
Right, so me and I are like, all right, do we go now? Because pets are dying. And that's not right. That's not funny to anybody.
He knows he's doing a comedy show, right? Or
so
does
he came to America. I was driving a taxi. They still didn't know what I am. They say, what is that? I say, Broadway and 42nd. No, what is your name? Menashian. I'm Armenian. What's that? Oh, come on. Why don't you go and ask Noah's Ark in Armenia Mountain? It still exists there, but still is not even is still frozen.
Okay, so people want to know what his last name means, and then they don't know what Armenians are. And then he says, why don't you go up to the Armenian mountains and ask the Ark? He wants you to ask the Ark.
Does he think he's in therapy right now, working through his issues, or does he know that he's supposed to be doing jokes?
That's the Ark. If you could find the Ark, you wouldn't get an answer.
By the way, right now is April 24th, is the Armenian Genocide Day.
Right then, Bean turned to me and I turned to him and was like, Armenian Genocide, let's go.
We
that's
got
time.
It.
That's
this.
Time. That's time to just walk out and pull him off. So,
you know what? We'll be still being genocide every day.
What?
By the whole Muslim, they are fighting against each other.
There, he lost everybody. Nope.
Seriously, Sam. The Armenian genocide is what you thought you'd bring tonight? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing is funnier?
It is fun. It's not funny, but it is fun for the other people getting hurt.
I would like to suggest that the Armenian genocide is not fun for the other people not getting hurt.
No, I don't think so either.
And then we pulled them off. So it was 2 minutes and 36 seconds.
Oh, somebody had 2:30, didn't they?
I don't
was
know.
It Chip? I think Chip had 2:30. I had 2:20, by the way.
Oh, you did?
I did. I had 2:20. By the way, that seemed like 10 minutes.
Yes, that was
didn't
2
it?
Minutes and 36 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
So Chip won the bet.
And let me say to Jay Moore and to Rob Delaney and to Doug Benson and to Bill Burr and to Ari Shaffir and to Brad Williams, God bless you for agreeing to come out on that stage after what Sam did to it.
True.
Rob Delaney
took
said,
a big chance.
Rob Delaney said, I have to follow this. And I said, anything you say will be fantastic now. But that was part of the highlights from Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show means we talk to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who joins us at this time each week on the phone. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. How was yours, guys?
Very good.
Good.
I was hoping we might see at the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, the comedy show on Saturday night, but I guess you weren't there, right?
No, I was out partying like crazy.
Like you really? Do. Like you do. Hey, I apologize. I usually keep pretty good tabs on your site, but with the traveling and being busy this weekend, I missed the sit-down you did with Magic Johnson that is making news. This is a pretty big deal. This is an exclusive interview that you had with Magic about a topic he has never discussed before, right?
Yeah, he was so impressive. I mean, I love this guy.
Yeah, we all do.
I would vote if there were an open election in L.A. for mayor, and you could vote for anybody. I'd vote for Magic Johnson.
Yeah,
I just think he's so incredible. So you know, his son EJ, he came out, and what I didn't know was he didn't really come out until Magic told me this, until our camera was there. He wanted to do it that night. And we were there, and he did it.
And this was just like a week ago, right?
It was a week ago, and the kid's 20. So I sat down with Magic. Magic wanted to sit down and talk about it. So I went down to Dodger Stadium, and we talked. And he was saying, look, he knew for a long, long time. And when EJ was 13, Magic went up to him and said, look, I want to talk about this with you. I want to know, essentially, are you gay?
Right.
And the kid had been afraid because Magic's such a sports star and whatnot. And Magic said, look, no matter what, I'm going to love you. And the kid came out to him. And Magic is known for a long, long time. and very proud of his kid. And, you know, the two things that I wanted to talk to him about beyond EJ were, number one, there's a lot of hatred in the African-American community toward EJ because it's a very religious community. Magic's probably done more for the African-American community here than anybody.
And absolutely.
I wanted to know if he felt betrayed or not. And, you know, it's interesting because he's a very religious man. He goes to church every Sunday, and he doesn't feel betrayed. He said, look, I accept what it is, which is that, you know, that there are deeply religious sentiments over this, and I'm not going to get everybody's support. And he said, but the bottom line is that I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm supporting my son.
Right.
And then the second thing that I thought was interesting was, you know, I was asking him, well, what does this mean, say, if somebody in the L.A. Dodgers comes out? And he said, if they come out, I will support them. And I asked him, would you protect them? And he said, absolutely. And it was just really interesting.
Why is it significant that it's his son, though? I mean, his son is a celebrity or anything. Why do you suppose it's why do you suppose he felt like he needed to address it?
Well, I mean, his son wanted it public. And, mm-hmm. you know, once his son wanted it public, Magic wanted it as well. Because, look, I mean, he said, I wasn't going to do anything until EJ felt comfortable doing it. And
right.
when EJ felt comfortable doing it, you know, he wanted to make it clear. Part of it is, you know, remember, there's a lot of animosity toward in the African American community, and he wanted to stand up for his son.
And what do you think that's about, Harvey? What do you think the basis of that is?
Because
there are plenty of religious white people too, and that also accept gays.
Yeah,
so aren't
no,
there?
It's true. It's especially strong in the African American community. And I asked, you know, I was asking Magic about it, and he acknowledged it.
Is it partly a macho thing?
He didn't say that, and I don't know if it is, and, you know, maybe there is some of that, but, you know, he seemed to think it's rooted more in religion and, you know, in sermons, in church, and, you know,
right.
it's a very strong, closely knit community. Maybe you're right. Maybe part of it is that. He didn't address it, but it's undeniable when you look at the blogs, the things that were said about this kid were really shocking.
Well, I don't care at all that he's gay, but I'm horrified by how fat he is. And I don't know if you agree with me there, Harvey, but seriously, that's where they ought to be working on him.
There were people in my office, and they thought, you know, if the occasion presented itself with Magic, to just say, look, no matter what, that is an ugly-ass person.
Right, exactly.
It was particularly ugly.
This is the voice of Harvey Levin on TMZ.com. Let me ask you this, because Magic is in a unique position in that he is a former superstar athlete. He also is a black man, as you mentioned. He also is a sports franchise owner with the Dodgers, as you also mentioned. We've got to be getting to the tipping point where they're going to be out athletes, right? We certainly aren't
Absolutely.
There yet. But I get the impression, and maybe I've seen this on your site, Harvey, that there are some NFL players that are debating coming out very soon, right?
Well, I mean, there's certainly talk about it. And that's why I thought it was so significant with Magic, because here you have you have the owner of a team saying, again, and these are two distinct things. Not only would he support a player who came out, but he would protect them. And I think that's the key here,
right.
is that the protection is the big thing. And Magic jumped at that and said he would do it. And I think that's, you know, it sends a message. By the way, we had Mark Cuban on TMZ Live, I think, Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I asked Mark the same thing. He absolutely felt the same way that Magic did. And, you know, when you start having these owners coming out and saying, look, you know, if people want to be jerks about it, they're not going to get away with it. And we're going to protect these guys. I think it's only a matter of time. And I don't think it's going to be a long time before you start seeing this happening.
Harvey, am I just so out of touch that the words coming out to me are almost meaningless? Like, who cares anymore?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'll tell you who cares. In sports, the fact that somebody has to live a lie and, you know, pretend to date women or get married when they really don't want to because
right.
they're afraid of the repercussions, it's not just a who cares kind of thing. It really materially affects people's lives. And I think if the idea here is that people should be able to be who they really are and not be afraid of retaliation or retribution,
right.
then I don't think it's a who cares. I think that it's meaningful.
It is interesting, though, that you know, there was a time when a lot of TV and movie stars were in the closet. It doesn't seem like there's any need for that. You know, you see guys like Jim Parsons who come out after a number of years, and it's really Neil Patrick Harris when he did it. It was really just a so what though.
There's still a lot of homophobia in Hollywood, and there are a lot of actors, especially actors who play romantic leads, who are still, you know, living that lie. And there
that surprises me just because it's been just a yawn when so – like when Anderson Cooper came out, that was a tiny little ripple. You know what I mean? It's like really no one really cared at that point.
Well, I mean, I think people kind of knew.
People knew, yeah.
But I think that there are a lot of stars who create this illusion, who actually, you know, go to great lengths to create an illusion. And I do think that there's a certain amount of homophobia in the country that probably would affect their careers.
That's a shame that it's still that way.
Yeah.
It is that way. I mean, it just is that way. Yeah. And, you know, it's getting better, but it is that way.
I mean, we even have openly gay people in Congress now, which would have probably not been possible to be elected, you know, 20 years ago. But now that doesn't seem like a big deal.
There are a lot of I shouldn't say a lot. There are Republicans, you know, who can't do it. You know, they just can't. So, look, don't think this thing's over because it's not over.
Right, right.
But I think that probably the next frontier is sports. Because the fact is that if an athlete's really good, it just doesn't matter. I mean, when you talk about a movie star, you know, with a romantic lead, you could say, I just can't get past it. There are people who do that, and that's why a lot of them aren't coming out, and that may take a while. But with athletes, all they have to do is say, okay, I'm gay, so what? And then if they continue to do well, the myth gets shattered. But, people like Magic Johnson, Mark Cuban, they are going to make a huge difference in this, I'm telling you. They will make a huge difference.
That's good. Well, congratulations on getting the interview. I can't wait to go back and see the whole thing, but that is fascinating. You can see that on TMZ.com. You can also see the very latest on what is shaping up to be quite a battle with Ray J getting into the Kim Kardashian storyline again, which I am very excited about. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But all that available for you at TMZ.com, and check your local listings for TMZ on the TV as well. Harvey, great chat today. Thanks for coming on.
Good talking to you guys.
All right. We are going to give away some tickets for Coachella. If you want to go, it's 3-day passes. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. It is this weekend, people. Coachella is this weekend.
I can't believe it.
You're going to have to identify lyrics. If you can do that, call us right now, 1-800-520-1067.
How appropriate. We'd be hearing that song right there, Under the Bridge, from the Red Hot Chili Peppers here on the World Famous K-Rock, because we want to give you tickets to go see them this weekend at Coachella. A 3-day pass plus access to the K-Rock Coachella house, which means you get to see some great bands up close and personal performing live for us. If you want to be on the phone right now at 1-800-520-1067, it's time to play the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
That's strong. I'm standing by that. All right, here's the wheel. It's got a bunch of celebrities on it. They're going to read Red Hot Chili Pepper lyrics. You have to name the song. Homer Simpson, okay. William right. Shatner, Donald Trump, Bob Dylan, Harrison Ford, Sean Connery, Marcus Mumford, Al Pacino, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Pat O'Brien.
Wow. Okay. A lot of great celebrities. And you're telling me they're all in the next room just getting ready to stand up to the microphone and do a Red Hot Chili Pepper lyric for us.
I wasn't being quite that specific, but if you'd like to, that's fine. All right, here we go. Let's meet our first contestant, then we'll spin the wheel. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. You ready for the Wheel of Celebrities?
Yes.
You heard me.
Matt's laughing, or whatever it's called.
Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson! Hi, Homer. How are you? All right, Homer, you're going to read these Red Hot Chili Peppers lyrics in front of you, and then Matt is going to tell us what the name of the song is. Then he'll be in the drawing to win the tickets. Good luck.
Woohoo! What I've got, you've got to give it to your mama. What I've got, you've got to give it to your papa. What I've got, you've got to give it to your daughter. Do a little dance, then you drink a little water.
All right, thank you, Homer. Matt, what song, please? This is the easiest one of the whole game.
Can't stop.
Sure.
Incorrect.
What I got, you got to give it to your mama.
Sorry, it's give it away. Give it away, give it away now.
No! The word give is in that a lot, too. All right, up next is Aaron. He is on line two, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Aaron. Morning. You ready to play?
Absolutely. Morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa. Good
morning. Morning.
And it is William Shatner.
Steak knife. Cod. Chuck. Conja. Boot cup. Skin. That flick. She's such a little DJ. Get there quick. Street, not by the freeway.
Hmm. All right. Those are terrible lyrics, Anthony, if you're listening.
Absolutely.
But what song is it?
Typing. Aaron, we need a guess, actually.
Give us an answer.
No, I'm sorry. Silence is incorrect. It's By the Way. All right. Thank you, Mr. Shatner. I feel terrible dragging you out of bed this early just to come down and do that, but thank you. We appreciate it.
Happy to help.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's say hello to Juan. Juan is on the Kevin Bean Show doing Red Hot Chili Pepper lyrics here this morning on the Wheel of Celebrities for Coachella tickets. Juan, good luck. Let's find out who you're going to be talking to.
Fire, beer, mug. Morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
In that order.
It's Al Pacino.
Ooh. Black bandana. Sweet Louisiana. Robbing a bank in the state of Indiana.
California.
Nicely done.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Al. Appreciate that. Phil Spector was guilty, though. All right, he's a day. What? Who is that?
Huh?
Was that Juan we just talked to?
Yes, it was.
That was Juan. Juan is in the drawing. Let's go to Steven, see if we can also get him hooked up.
All right. Hi, Steven.
What's up, guys?
Just doing the Wheel of Celebrities. Margaret Thatcher. Whoop, got to spin again.
Oh, I'm too dead. Soon. Too soon.
It would be Pat O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen. Pat O'Brien.
Devin Bean.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be back here. Ask Hartman, he'll tell you.
Hartman's not here.
All right, here's your lyrics.
All right.
Chitty chitty, baby, when your nose is in the nitty gritty. Life could be a little sweet, but life could be a little E. What a pity. Boston and Kansas City looking for 100. But you only ever found a 50.
You write that one, Pat?
I did.
Yeah, I thought so. Steven, what song is that, please?
Tell Me Baby.
Tell Me Baby is correct. These are not good lyrics.
No, they're really not. It's amazing when you hear them how successful the Chili Peppers have been. All right,
Told Anthony when he first started writing those songs that he should use more nonsense words.
You did. You told him that.
And, that was you, huh?
He started doing that and backed off. By the way.
Yeah. All right, let's bring Johnny on. He's on line five.
Now,
he'll have
on.
To be our
what about me?
Final contestant.
I think
we're
going to
stick
around.
We're going to say goodbye to you, Pat, actually, because we have
Prime
other celebrities.
Time with Pat O'Brien and Steve Hartman.
All right, Pat, we got to go. Coming we got up. Other celebrities standing by here. All right,
speaking of celebrities, you know, I have a lot of my friends are celebrities.
We don't have time, Pat. We don't have time.
Oh,
hi, Johnny.
What? Good luck. It's Pat O'Brien.
Hey,
Pat O'Brien again?
So glad it worked out that way, guys.
The wheel, man. I don't know.
You guys know a good thing when you got it, don't you? Keep Pat O'Brien around. Ratings go through the roof.
Yeah. Okay, we've seen. Thank you, Pat. That hasn't been the case on your show, though, has it, Pat?
35 years, you know, I've been doing this.
Right.
And let's make sure successful.
Okay. Let's make sure Johnny is even on the phone. Johnny, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Lisa, man.
Good morning,
all right,
Johnny.
So Pat is going to be reading some lyrics for you, and then we're going to throw him the hell out. But good luck. Here we go.
Thank you.
It's hard to believe that there's nobody out there. It's hard to believe that I'm all alone. At least I have her love, the city. She loves me. Lonely as I am, together we cry.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Johnny, what song, please?
Under the Bridge.
That's correct.
It's hard to believe.
Nicely done.
Ryan's when I was in rehab, I felt that way. I felt alone, but I battled my demons.
Okay.
And I beat them.
Okay. But
and you can too.
We're finished. Right.
Right.
We're finished with that.
I sent my open letter to Lindsay Lohan.
Right. Thank you, Pat. Pat, thank you.
And I'm happy to help her out.
Thank you, Pat. We appreciate
it.
Get my number.
Steven and Johnny all were able to identify their Wheel of Celebrity Red Hot Chili Pepper lyrics, but only one can win the Coachella tickets. Lisa, who's that going to be?
That is Johnny.
Yay! Johnny! Congratulations, Johnny.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
And now, a moment with Bean.
All right, he's a dare. What? Who is that?
Huh?
Is that Juan we just talked to?
Yes, it was.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow. I was trying to do too many things at the same time there, I think, is what was going on. Hey,
I work too hard. That's why I screwed it up.
And I suck, too. Don't forget that. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday. We are dangerously close for a first on network television as we are about to see mother-son sex happen on Bates Motel. I think it's got to be heading in that direction. That is the creepiest show on TV right now. We're going to talk to the executive producer of Bates Motel, Carlton Cuse, right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
How about me?
about you.
Want some applause?
Yeah. 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 Last week I was talking about that auction with that Star Trek phaser rifle.
Right.
That Shatner wielded in that first episode. And I told you it was going to go for big bucks. Well, we just found out. It went over the weekend. $231,000.
Wow. For a prop they used, what, once, did you say?
They used it a couple times in the series, but it was featured predominantly in the first episode.
Wow.
Yeah. Over $230,000. By far the biggest money-making item from the auction. And other stuff was pretty high-end, like Marilyn Monroe's personally owned dress, cocktail dress, only went for $25,000.
No kidding.
The Green Hornet Black Beauty car that Seth Rogen drove in the production.
Right.
Mm-hmm. $46,875. Not even $50,000. Shatner's rifle.
Yeah. Wow, $230,000.
That's amazing.
The Munchkin hat only sold for $15,000.
What do you suppose Shatner's rifle cost to make?
$8.
Yeah, probably so, right?
No, it's balsa wood and some PVC and some duct tape, spray painted silver, and just thrown out there. It's
just
crazy.
Hang on to it long enough. It's going to be worth something.
Isn't that crazy? Christopher Reeve's flying suit from Superman 4 sold for $25,000. So you can see, everyone was just waiting for that phaser rifle.
Man,
Star Trek rules. That's why. All right, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Evil Dead, in its debut weekend, was number one at the box office with $26 million.
I saw that. That was good.
Yeah, tell us about it, Kevin.
That was good. There's a lot of blood. I don't know if you know that going in. There's a tremendous amount of blood.
That was good. A lot of blood.
That's Kevin's review.
No, it was very scary. I liked it a lot.
G.I. Joe Retaliation and the Croods came in at a tie for second place with $21 million each. Then Jurassic Park, the 3D re-release, $18.2 million, made it number four. Olympus Has Fallen was fifth. Tyler Perry's Temptation was sixth. Oz, The Great and Powerful, seventh. The Host, The Call, and Admission, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, Lucas trying to get himself a little bit of attention back after having had sex with Kim Kardashian and really starting her career. He's got a point. Ray J, I guess, is finally fed up with all the attention that she's getting outside of the world, and this Kanye West relationship also getting Kanye a lot of attention. That's probably what cheeses him off more. He doesn't care so much about Kim because he hasn't said anything until now.
Yeah, true.
But now that she's dating Kanye West, he has released his own single called I Hit It First.
Oh, that's
the name of it.
I Hit It First.
By the way, the worst thing about that video, that sex video with Kim Kardashian, is that he never lets her be seen. He's in front of the camera the whole time, mugging and talking.
All about him.
All about him.
But at the time, remember, he was the celebrity in that celebrity sex tape.
Oh, I didn't think that way. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, he's the guy. She's just this girl he's boning. Who knew that she would become this giant, fat, massive creature
she is
today?
She's pregnant.
She's fat, too. She's not that pregnant. What's she having? A litter? How pregnant is she? Here's a little taste of Ray J's new song, I Hit It First.
Ray J, Bobby Braggins. Yeah.
She
might move on to rappers and ball players, but we all know I hit it first. I hop in the club and bop a show love, and I don't even put in work. I hit it first.
This is a terrible song.
Going north on her ass, going south, but now bitch chose to go west.
Yeah. I had her head going north, her butt going south. Now the bitch has gone west.
See
what he did? He's a wordsmith.
Because she moves on to rappers and basketball players, but he hit it first, Ralph.
No, he hit it first. He hit it first. Let's go wear some Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Hey, I'm glad Chris Brown didn't sing that song, by the way.
Wow. Just keep moving like it didn't happen.
Got it.
Just keep right on moving.
He hits people.
But not Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Keep right on moving.
It's just Monday. Really?
Act like it's Monday
at 7 o'clock. You're going to come at me with that?
Whatever the next story is.
Decency. Have you just no decency, sir? Today's celebrity birthdays. John Schneider. He was one of those Duke boys. Them Dukes.
He was Clark Kent's dad, too, right?
That's right, on Smallville for many seasons. 53 years old today. Izzy Stradlin of Guns N' Roses is 51. Donita Sparks of L7 is 50. Julian Lennon is also 50 years old today. He's lived a decade longer than his father did.
Wow.
You think about that. How crazy is that? Robin Wright is 47 years old. She's lovely and talented.
So great on House of Cards, Ralph. I know you're not watching that yet, but she's phenomenal.
Patricia Arquette is 45. Taylor Kitsch, the actor, is 32. And Biz Markie!
Oh, baby, you got what I need.
This is real.
But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend.
You can hear every pound.
He's pregnant, Kevin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell, one of the stars of Scream 5, joins us in studio.
Scary
in just
Movie
minutes.
5, too.
That
I'm
one. Sorry.
He's in that film, too.
Especially that one.
Yeah.
I'm a disaster.
No, he's in a bunch of movies called 5. He's in Rocky 5.
He's in all the 5s.
He's in all the 5s.
Fast 5.
He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Mondays mean A&E for me because Bates Motel airs at 10 p.m.
Oh,
what about this Bates Motel, Ralph, your favorite show of the new season? What about that?
I love this show so much. It's so good.
Well,
it's fascinating and it's terrifying and it's
creepy is what it is more than anything.
No, but there's lots of things that are creepy, but this thing is like seductively creepy. It brings you in. You want to be with these people and you hate yourself for it at the same time.
I don't have anything to do with it.
I want to live in White Pine Bay.
I want child services to take Norman Bates away from his creepy mother. That's what I want. Well, anyway, we're very excited to welcome back to the program the executive producer of Bates Motel, Carlton Cuse, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Cuse. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, guys, and God bless you, Ralph.
Carlton, I'm obsessed with this show. I'm telling you, you're only 3 episodes in, and I'm lost. I'm hopeless. No pun intended. I'm lost. I'm hopeless about this show. It's great.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm really glad to hear that. I think it's been a lot of fun to make, and we're really blessed with Vera Farmiga to get an Academy Award nominated actress to star in our show. She was sort of my first choice all along when I was actually writing the show before that even seemed possible. And the fact that I got her and Freddie Highmore, who's, I think as talented as any young British actor, never had done a television series before this one. And so we have this fabulous cast. And, I'm really excited about it.
Freddie has the uncanny ability to stand alone in this show, but he also captures the essence of Anthony Perkins from the film, I think. You see him in there when you watch his performance.
It's weird because, honestly, we didn't think about it when we were casting him. I mean, we just liked him as an actor, and it wasn't until he actually got on screen. He's a big-name actor, so he didn't read. We had a conversation, and we offered him the part, and it wasn't until we actually got to Vancouver and started shooting the show that I agree with you. It was like, oh, my gosh, wow, he kind of is, in a weird way, channels some part of him in this
Yeah, he looks like a young Tony Perkins. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now Carlton, many people who watch primetime television have never seen the movie Psycho, for God's sakes. It's 50 years old or something like that. Why did you go this direction to do a, basically a prequel to a 50-plus-year-old movie? Why did you even decide to do it in the first place?
Well, first of all, the fact that you haven't seen Psycho is fine, and in fact, I don't think it really matters. And it's a contemporary prequel, so it was really what interested me was taking these characters. I mean, spoiler alert: in the movie, we don't really know that much about Norma Bates because she's dead and stuffed, and
yes.
Norman is channeling her voice.
There's that.
So the idea of being able to create a brand new character for Norma Bates was incredibly appealing, and this relationship, it seemed like an incredibly interesting relationship to take these characters of Norma and Norman Bates and to sort of chart their course, and we know that they're going to come to a tragic end. Now, if you just went out to a network and said, hey, I've got this great mother-son story, and they're super close, it's not incestuous, but they're...
It's dangerously close to that.
It's walking that line.
And eventually, when we... downstream in the show, he's going to end up killing his mother and stuffing her. You're just not going to sell that as a standalone idea.
That's the Christmas special.
Yeah, right. Tell me about that relationship that just skeeves Kevin and me out so much. Every Tuesday we come in and we go, oh, dude, I thought they were going to do it last night. That's a very fine line to walk as a writer, right? I would imagine to make it creepy enough but not go over some imaginary line.
Yes, and I think the imaginary line would be to actually, you know, have them do it. I mean, like, that's just too creepy for me.
Right.
There's no, you know, spoilers there. I just don't think that that's what the audience wants to see. But they love each other, and, you know, your closest relationship in your life probably shouldn't be with your mom. And, you know, it has repercussions. And
I totally understand the teenager being jealous when his mom dates and not understanding that and being confused by that. And he's, you know, recently lost his father and he doesn't like it. But the fact that the mom is, you know, gets jealous when the son dates, that's what just turns it on its head for me.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
But not that far, I think, Carlton, from extrapolating that fact that your relationship with your mother, or if you're a woman, with your father, that's the first primary love relationship you have with someone of the opposite sex in your life. So if you just take that and then...
And what happens when that person doesn't want to let go?
What happens?
You know, I think there's a great line where, you know, somebody says to Norma, well, you know, he's gonna move out and go to college, and she's just kind of like shocked, like, he's gonna go where? He's gonna move out? Like, he's not gonna live with me, you know? And I think that's what's really fun about it, is that she, you know, Norma doesn't want anybody more than Norman. She loves him at the center of her life. I mean, she'll go out and, like, you know, get laid and stuff.
She'll bang a sheriff now and then.
Sure.
But nobody's more important than Norman.
But Carlton, right. You've also taken that character and that central relationship and surrounded it with this town, this White Pine Bay. And I got to tell you, not since Twin Peaks have I found a city or a town more sort of just unsettling. You just feel the evil that is just living under the surface of this seemingly idyllic little town.
Yeah, well, you know, my partner Carrie Aaron, who I do the show with, and I were just really obsessed with Twin Peaks, and so this seemed like the perfect opportunity to do that. And a few years ago, I'd driven through Humboldt County, Northern California, which is very much like this. You know, on the surface, it's the beautiful little coastal towns, but a lot of the economy there is actually based on the fact that people are growing weed in the hills and mountains around them. And I thought that was fascinating, and that, you know, this idea of a town looking really beautiful on the surface but having this dark undercurrent was something that really was compelling to me as a writer.
And Humboldt County is also driven financially by the Chinese sex slave industry.
A lot of people weren't aware of that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. This is the voice of Carlton Cuse, the executive producer of Bates Motel. We're talking about his show that airs Monday nights. That's tonight at 10 o'clock on A&E. By the way, how about a few words, Ralph, about this high school that the kid goes to?
Hottest high school in the world.
Every girl in this high school looks like an Abercrombie & Fitch model. Even the cystic fibrosis girl is hot. Like, what's going on with this, Carlton? Where is this place existing except in your mind?
No answer.
Well, you know, what can I say?
It's TV. That's what it is.
People in White Pine Bay.
Yes. 100%.
Real quick, before we go, because I know you only have a minute left, anything you want to tell us about tonight's episode at 10 on A&E?
Well, I think that the big question coming out of last week's show is, what is going on in the basement of the sheriff's house? Did Norman really see a Chinese sex slave down there, or was that a figment of his imagination? And the consequences of that are going to play out, but it's you know, not I think in the way that you expect. There's kind of a lot of tension, and it's a little bit of more of a slow boil. But I think, you know, this whole the whole notion of what in fact is going on here, what's the story with this manga book that Norman found, all these questions are sort of percolating in tonight's episode.
And Carlton, I have to tell you, on behalf of those of us who are big fans of Psycho, the original film, the tributes that you pay to it, the little homages and the stuff that you drop into the series, it's very entertaining and satisfying for those of us who love the movie too, you know.
Oh, thanks. You know, we wanted to make their, you know, people who had seen the movie appreciate certain little things like that. But again, you don't really need to have seen the movie to watch Bates Motel.
But you've got all of us with Bates Motel, I'll tell you that. It is so good.
You really do.
Monday nights, 10 o'clock on A&E. So again, tonight at 10, check it out. And if you haven't, you can check out. There's only been 3 episodes so far, right?
Yeah, and they're on streaming on A&E TV, so you can catch up.
There you go.
And you should. Carlton, always great to have you on the Kevin Beach Show, man. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, look, it's Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, it certainly is.
Thank you.
How about that?
I want to add to that. This isn't really news, but the 405 South right at the 101, it's going to take you about a half hour, so you might want to get ready
Thanks for that.
That
update.
Thanks for that personal experience, Jerry. Is that where you just came from?
That's a personal experience. I was starting to get nervous that I was going to be late for you guys, but because I gave myself enough time and I'm so responsible, here I am.
You are responsible.
That's why you're Hollywood treasure.
You seem to be, like many people lately, obsessed with traffic. Like it's you plan your whole day around it, I guess,
well,
right?
Well, I'm an old man now. You know, I used to come in here when I was young and single and I didn't have a care in the world. I could sit in traffic all I wanted. But now I have kids and you have to pick kids up at school and you have a schedule. And you just stress more about like money and traffic and things. And as you get older, it's sort of a rite of passage. Like you're supposed to get really concerned about traffic. That's what happens when you're an old man.
Traffic sound fun.
Traffic and music. Turn down that music. Pull your pants. And you're supposed to yell at kids for pulling their pants. Pull your pants up. Look at you. You look like a fool.
Do you do that? Do you spend your time walking around yelling at kids?
Yeah.
Well, that aren't yours?
I'm from Calabasas. Calabasas, what up, everybody? I'm a crossing guard there, so I yell at all the kids. I'm joking.
No, you're not.
Oh, I know you're joking
about that.
Coming soon, though. It's going to happen very soon.
The reason Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show is you'll always be Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell, Buster. You know that.
Yes.
Is that if you've always wanted to see Mr. O'Connell in a film, but only with Ashley Tisdale and Mike Tyson also in the same movie, that finally it's here. Scary Movie 5 is opening up everywhere this Friday, April the 12th. What a crazy collection of people in this film.
Yeah, you know, I think all those movies, they're pretty crazy. And
totally.
And by the way, Mike Tyson and I are probably the least crazy of some of the people who are in this movie.
Wow, that's frightening.
I'm sure everyone's heard the stories and all that stuff. Man, working with Tyson was really scary because I play Christian Grey, that 50 Shades of Grey guy.
Right.
And I'm supposed to, you know, be, you know, getting sexual with Ashley Tisdale's character. And the joke is Mike Tyson is my sex slave. And, you know, I get him to beat me, and that's how I sort of get off. But, you know, Mike Tyson had to, fake punch me, I'm guessing, 100 times, and there's just
really?
Not a stuntman.
Yeah, well, there's just nothing more frightening than Mike Tyson winding up to even fake punch you, and sometimes,
even now,
and you know, and sometimes he would get close and just like sort of they'd say cut and laugh, and I'm not going to do an imitation of him because I'm an intelligent person, but
try it.
No, you crazy man. You know, he'd be like, "Oh, sorry, that was kind of close."
Oh, and God.
I'd be like, "Yeah, it was kind of close."
All he's like, needs to do is connect once.
But here's the difference with a guy like that: he has to learn how to not hit.
I know.
He's used to hitting.
I mean, right. know. Yeah, I think he actually said, "I'm not used to missing." So,
right.
Like, sorry, sorry if I get you a little bit. And I was like, "Listen, that can't happen."
Right. And even
I'm going to be a crossing guard.
Even 20 years past fighting, and even playing around, he could still hurt you if he connected.
He is he's really intimidating when you meet him, you know. It's really, really intimidating. And it's not just the face tattoo. It's like I think it's just Tyson, you know?
It's the legend.
What a sweet guy, right. though. He came with his whole family. I mean, I know everyone says that he's a sweet guy and everything, but he really is.
Now Jerry tries to not get beat up again.
Did you see his show? At the Pantages?
No.
I mean,
no.
That really comes out.
Yeah.
He is a sweet guy, and he's very different now than he used to be.
He's got that one-man show. Could you imagine if I came on here and made fun of him? Would that make me the stupidest person in the world?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Could you imagine if I got a call, Tyson's looking for you? I would die. I would leave this planet.
Back in the day when Mike Tyson was Mike Tyson, and he was the heavyweight champ of the world, we were in a strip club in Vegas, and a friend of mine pushed me into him.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
And he turned around, you look in his eyes, and you go, am I going to die right this second?
So funny.
He was terrified.
Or not.
He was terrified.
That is so funny.
But now he's sweet as could be.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it wasn't then. I'll tell you that.
These scary movies, though, are the silliest movies being made, and that's why people like them. Besides getting beat up by Mike Tyson, what other sorts of things do you have to do in this film?
I play that Christian Grey guy, the 50 Shades of Grey guy, which the books I did read, not for this movie, but I read them beforehand, which is
don't tell people that
embarrassing.
Well, no, you know, I mean, look,
humiliating.
It actually was a little embarrassing.
We're
I was on
take
a plane.
Away Hollywood treasure. If you're not careful,
I was on a plane. I was sitting in the back of the plane on the three seats in the middle seat, and I was in the airport, and I was like, "Let me see what this book is all about." So I picked it up, and I got on the plane, and I opened it, and the lady next to me went, "Excuse me," and I went, "Yeah," And she said, what page are you on? And I was like, oh, I just turned like 15. And she was like, it's going to get crazy.
and the toilet's another, right next to us.
And then another lady stopped me, too, saying, excuse me, so where are you? And I was like, oh, I'm about 60. And she's like, it's going to get crazy.
Who knew that'd be a good pickup?
I thought it was a pretty arousing book, though. I mean, it was.
That's what it's supposed to
you
be.
You know, I mean, it is sort of like, look, I don't think it's geared toward men, so it's a little embarrassing that I'm saying that I read it, you know, I mean, I tried to incorporate some of that stuff into my marriage with my wife, and it just...
Was it
just
a surprise to her?
It just didn't work out. Right. Like, none of it worked out. Like, we're lucky if we get to actually do the deed, like, regular missionary way, let alone, like, chaining someone up to the ceiling or anything.
Yeah, who's got time for all that nonsense? You're an old man, right? Like you said.
Right. Like, oh, God, what was his name? In that movie, the movie where the guy and Michael Douglas is the boyfriend, and it's Halle Berry's baby daddy who's in it, and he goes, heat me. And he keeps saying that in the relationship, heat me.
I can't remember.
We're going to work on that, and we're going to take a break. And
then
we're
going to screaming it right
come
now.
Come back with Jerry O'Connell.
Scary Movie 5 is the name of the movie, opening up everywhere on Friday, April the 12th. Our friend Jerry O'Connell in studio with us now, just grateful to be away from his kid for an hour. Yeah. That's the only reason he's here right
kids.
Now.
Yeah. Well, kids, I'm just like this weekend. All I wanted to do was watch Game of Thrones, GOT, and Mad Men last night. Mm-hmm. And you know, if I have to go through one more episode of Dora, or if I have to watch Alvin and the Chipmunks one more time, I'm going to kill myself.
Yes, that's where NyQuil comes in handy.
I got the impression from your Twitter that you are chipwrecked out at this point. Like you're ready to go on a killing spree if you have to see one more minute of the goddamn Chipmunks.
Well,
right?
It's funny. I tried to watch Game of Thrones with my kids yesterday, but I have to.
Oh, it's perfect for kids.
It is. But I have to fast forward through the menage a trois and through the...
It's a lot of them.
And the beheadings. So the show actually only came out to 40 seconds.
Well, that's not very long. That's not much of a show. No,
somebody, a guy named TJ, emailed me and said, I've said I'm planning on... Or he hit me up on Twitter. I said I'm planning to watch this, and he went, "Dude, it's gonna take like 40 seconds." If
and Mad Men, which is not nearly as violent, is still not something that the kids are interested in. Yeah, so there's no way you can even have that on. It's just grown-ups talking.
Yeah, it's just a grown-up thing. All they ask is, "Why does he have sideburns? What's going on?" You know, and they don't want to watch it. Why is he throwing up? Why does he drink so much, Daddy? They were freaked out. They did watch a little bit of Mad Men and saw people smoking, and they were like, "Smoking!" It's so funny how.
They just smoke.
Well, it's just so funny how general...
His kids?
Generationally... Yeah, right. How, like, you know, if I had seen someone smoking as a kid, I wouldn't go, oh, my God, they're smoking.
Right,
but, you know, it's actually great for the world that here in 2013...
Yeah, because they grew up thinking of it as an evil. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
It's great. It's good.
Except for you can't watch your shows.
Right.
You mentioned something during the song that I guess I was not aware of that I was fascinated with, is that you spent 8 months on Broadway in New York recently.
Yeah, I did a Broadway show called Seminar starring Alan Rickman, who is Snape or Hans Gruber from Die Hard. It was great.
Who's phenomenal. Is that everything that, I mean, I know lots of actors, that's the goal, is to get to do a play on Broadway.
I mean,
is it an awesome way to live as an actor?
Yeah. I mean, it's really what it's all about. You sort of understand after being on Broadway why, you know, actors really sort of design their careers about getting back there. And like you sort of...
What is it? The immediate response?
It's that. It's just the way of life. It's getting there every night. The challenge of playing to an audience. I just I can't explain it, but I will say you sort of understand why a lot of the great actors and actresses design their lives around getting back there.
Hey, Tom Hanks is getting ready to take up Broadway. You know, he's getting ready to star in that show.
And it's great that guys like Hanks and stuff come to Broadway because they really get butts in seats, you know, and it's a really fierce, it's fiercely competitive, you know, and
But isn't it, I mean, people who play these roles for, you know, years at a time, I mean, you did 8 months, that's a long time. You're doing the same show 100 nights, you know, in a row, basically. That doesn't get tiresome for you?
I sort of hit it at 8 months. That was a pretty good run. I was ready to move on. But it's also, I don't know, it's a weird stamina thing, too, when you're doing it for 8 months. Because some nights you're just... You really have to concentrate every show because, you know, you forget where you are in a play or what night of the week it is because you're doing eight a week. It's almost like, you know, it's easy to run, you know, 3 or 4 miles, but, you know, it's obviously very difficult to run a marathon and you just sort of have to really pace yourself. It's,
do you get a month in and start having to really try to pay attention or did you find yourself
wandering? I found about 4 months in, it got really hard for me because I had to really concentrate on everything I was doing because you sort of hit it on cruise control after
right.
month
yeah,
four.
Yeah, and if you check out,
yeah, and
you're gonna have that moment.
And one night I checked out, man. I went up on a couple lines and I was like, where am I in this speech?
Oh no,
yeah, and it's crazy because there's 800 people there and it's it's the most nerve. Yeah, it's crazy. I walked off stage and I was shaking like I was having like a panic attack.
Wow.
And Alan Rickman went, well, you know, Jerry, is everything all right? And I was like, I just went up and, you know, afterwards he was really nice. He knocked on my door and he went, look, you have to, and he's the one who actually said to me, you have to treat every show. It actually takes more concentration as the show goes on than mm-hmm. it does in the beginning. Every show gets harder and harder. Wow. And he's right. It's just wow. crazy.
That's what I found out on Broadway as well.
You have been in, you've been acting for, it's got to be close to 30 years.
Yeah, man. Theory. Stand By Me came out in 85, so 28 years.
Wow.
Oh, no, it
yeah.
came out in 86, so 27 years.
27 years of acting. Have you always worked? Has there ever been? Did you go through that phase where you had trouble getting work? Because it seems like
college,
now...
I went to college. I went to NYU, and I didn't really work those years. I did do a failed television show, believe it or not, with Jay Moore and Hilary Swank.
Oh,
isn't that
really?
Crazy? Yeah.
Interesting.
It was a failed television
we
show.
We just saw Jay Saturday night. He played our April Foolishness concert. We see Jay all the time.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I still see him a lot as well. I just saw him last week. But, you know, I sort of went to college and knew I wanted to get back into acting. I mean, obviously,
not all kid actors have the luxury of going on and still being, you know, having their choice like you do, it seems like, between television, movies, and the stage. I mean, you're doing great right now.
I don't know. I've sort of been sticking in the game. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing too dazzling about it. I mean, there's nothing.
I'm just saying.
Way to downplay your career, man.
No, I mean, I don't
look
know.
Look how young you were when you started, and look how many other people act at that age that aren't still acting at your age.
I know,
now.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
It's crazy. You know, it's so funny. I think about that child star thing and when some actors or actresses get into trouble and they're child stars and sort of everybody looks for it. And I don't know if it happens because of that world that they're in or if that a lot of people just get into that sort of trouble and this is just sort of magnified and put in the press.
How are
it makes
you
a
able to
story.
Sidestep all of that?
I don't know. I mean, I heard Harvey on your show, Harvey Levin from TMZ on your show earlier. I mean, I've sort of, thank goodness I haven't gotten to any trouble with him. Oh, man, he's such a character, you know. I've met him a couple times and done some stuff for him, and he is just such a, I really enjoy his, like, energy and everything, and he just attacks everything. Like, in terms of being a journalist, and he is a journalist, man. They have some breaking ass stories on
no,
the
if they put on it on TMZ, it's true.
Yeah.
But also, like,
with the exception of Lil Wayne almost dying. Except for that. Everything else is true.
Well, listen, it got me paying attention that weekend. I was on Lil Wayne
Death Watch
all weekend.
Did you temporarily suspend your use of scissor?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I put the Robitussin away.
Did you ever go through a drug phase as a young actor?
No. I mean, and I know I hesitated when saying that, but I mean, you know, I mean, I did go to college, and you know, while it wasn't the '60s or '70s, it was the early inimitable '90s, and
a little bit of experimenting,
I mean, you know,
but it never got
just,
out of hand.
Yeah, I was in college. You sort of see things. Never inhaled. I never inhaled.
You are a liar.
Never, sir. Never.
Well, we never have enough time to spend with you when you come in because you're such a fascinating dude. And the movie looks very, very funny. I know that a lot of times when you get to these films that are, you know, now we're to the fourth sequel here, Scary Movie 5, it would be their potential is there to just phone it in. But the trailers and stuff make it look really, really funny. Have you seen the whole thing yet, Jerry?
No, but you know what's really funny are those Zucker guys who did all the airplane movies and all that.
Right,
they're
right.
just such – they're such, you know, comedy – they're almost like comedy robots. Like, they're like comedy computers. It's so, like, I was getting hit by Tyson, and I was, like, reacting like someone would react if they were hit by Tyson. And, you know, they came up to me in one take and went, hey, just act, you know, get hit, love it, and then react and feel the pain. And, like, you do it, and you're like, God, the reason why he's able to say that is because he's been doing this since Airplane or the Kentucky Fried movie and all that stuff, and he knows exactly what to do, you know?
Are you going to be at the premiere on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Lindsay Lohan's going to be there. Watch out.
Cannot wait.
Very exciting. She's going to drag you into something you don't want to be a part of.
No, she doesn't want to deal. Look, nothing is more frightening than my two children. So there's nothing Lindsay can do that can scare me.
All right. Well, we have to do this again very soon because I feel like we just scratched the surface. But Scary Movie 5 is the film. It looks very, very funny coming out everywhere this Friday. And Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell is in the movie. And we thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
We enjoyed it. Another Hollywood treasure joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. It's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Oh, you're so sweet. Speaking of Hollywood, Hollywood Babylon returns to Long Beach this weekend.
Oh, on the road.
Yeah, we did it a couple months ago down there at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. And people, boy, they were just so nice to us. We said, we have to go back and do that again. So this Saturday night at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show. If you're down there in the LBC, come on out. Represent.
Yeah, whoop, 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 woo.
Am I pulling that off?
Nope.
You can go to CSMOD to get tickets, or of course the Laugh Factory website as well has them. We'll see you Saturday night. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Evil Dead, in its debut, was number one, $26 million.
You know what's good about that is that they didn't waste a lot of time in the movie where it's all tension and very little payoff.
Yeah, it's just all payoff.
It's all just payoff. All just, it's just one just person blood. Gets taken over by a demon and the next.
Are they all dead by morning?
You're all going to die tonight?
Yeah.
Yes.
By noon the next day?
Spoiler
things
alert.
Things were not working out well or something? I can't remember the exact line, but I just... And neither can
you
I.
You're all going to die tonight.
There we go. Beer Mug just like strolling through things, looking stuff.
There's no sense of urgency.
Taking
that's
a bite
for sure.
out of a sandwich, looking around.
He was taking his time.
Yeah, I don't even have
no
a
rush.
Sandwich.
You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah, I wish Beer Mug would die tonight.
Come on. By the way, that's of course one girl talking. That's
I
what.
No, but she has many evil spirits yeah, inside does. Her. The Necromicon. Our buddy Kathy Griffin's out of a job.
What?
Yeah, after two seasons, Bravo Cable Network has canceled her Kathy talk show. The good news
is... I'm surprised because they love her on that network.
Yeah, for the gays to cancel Kathy Griffin, you can imagine how torn they must have been to make that decision. Good news is, however, that she's rumored now to be doing a two-person hour-long talk show on CNN with her buddy Anderson Cooper.
Yeah,
really?
Two of them are going to team up, the dynamic duo of gayness.
Great.
Couple
They're
did
perfect. A, They're great together. They're great on New Year's Eve on CNN. I think that'd be a fun show.
They did a pilot already for that show a couple weeks ago, and where it is, it went very well. So we may see them together on CNN. It'd be like Drew and Adam Carolla, you know? It's like you got the guy who's got the information and the other one who just will barely let them get that information out. So I right. think they'll be a good team together. G.I. Joe! Doing very well for itself. G.I. Joe Retaliation has made just over $86 million so far in a couple weeks. Combined with the first film's $150 million gross in North America alone, looks like, yes, boys and girls, there will be a third G.I. Joe in the works.
Wow.
Paramount is starting to spin already that they will bring it another edition of G.I. Joe to theater screens soon. They said it was always planned for a trilogy anyway. Yeah, of course it was. We know. This is interesting casting news. Carrie Underwood, country music sweetheart Carrie Underwood, according to NBC and People Magazine, is going to be doing a live production of The Sound of Music on that network. NBC still just continues to have its finger on the pulse of what the people want to see on television.
This is how you get to be the fifth place network.
They are going to bring us a new version of The Sound of Music with Carrie Underwood as Maria Von Trapp. It's just a perfect storm of crap that I won't watch over there on NBC. I don't know what they got going on, but...
Well, at least they're spending the rest of their time when they're not doing that, forcing the hosts of the shows that are successful to quit. At least NBC is taking care of that on the other end.
They're taking care of business over there. Wow, there's Carrie Underwood as in a Broadway version of, Sound of Music.
This reminds me so much of Jack Donaghy on 30 Rock, who at one point tried to tank the network. I almost feel that's like NBC is trying to do that. We gotta sell everything off.
I need to take over Cable Town. And this is hot. This is my kind of story.
All right.
Yeah. Chick fight. Hot chick fight. Big battle between Jamie Presley. Remember her from My Name is Earl?
Sure.
And Estella Warren.
Ooh.
She was a swimmer, model, actress who was in the reboot of Planet of the Apes. May remember that.
She's a good deal. All right.
The big chick fight. Here's the thing. They were all at a house party And then Jamie Presley's assistant says, my purse is missing. So they say, let's just use this Find My Phone app on my iPhone, see if I can locate my purse. Turned out it was in a nightclub called Bootsy Bellows. We've talked about the Bootsy Bellows before.
I don't know.
Yeah, we've talked about Bootsy Bellows. It's a big high-end celebrity...
Does it deserve this music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big celebrity high-end nightclub where they all go to parties.
Okay.
So they get to Bootsy, and they find Estella there with Jamie Presley's assistant's purse.
Really?
She says, it's mine. He goes, no, it isn't. Look inside of it. And all the assistant's stuff is in there, the wallet and everything else. And some drugs were also in there, which Jamie and her assistant claim were not hers. And so they get into a big fight. Yeah, chick fight. And Bootsy Bellows, the cops had to be called to break it up.
They didn't make up afterwards?
They did not make up afterwards. But the cops cuffed them, and then the party got hot. Yeah, got the nightsticks, boys. The boys in blue. Police are currently investigating, but it was a big, nasty nightmare battle there at Bootsy Bellows. So things have gone south from Bootsy since Parliament Funkadelic all went away. Amanda Bynes.
Alive? Dead?
She's alive.
Alive?
We don't know how, but she claims that she has got an eating disorder, so leave her alone. I gain weight easily, she said, so I need to work out constantly, she told Us Weekly magazine. Some people are suggesting this is why she was found in the gym at the W Hotel in Times Square, smoking in the corner with no pants on. That's part of her workout regimen.
Why no pants?
We're not sure. We just know she's...
I love that.
She's crazy.
What do you think is really going on with her, Ralph?
Be
an armchair psychiatrist here. What's happening to her?
I think she enjoys substances that may alter your sense of... the
world.
The
so she's just walking around
you.
That's what's happening.
Well, look, who am I to say? But there have been allegations along those lines that perhaps she's indulging.
And is she another one like Lindsay who has no one who will pull her aside and say, stop it?
Well, her parents now are stepping up. They're trying to go in there and give her the help that she needs.
First things first, she needs a pair of pants.
First, she needs pants. And some hairspray. Today's celebrity birthdays. Taylor Kitsch is 32 years old. Patricia Arquette turns 45. Actress Robin Wright is 47. Remember that Princess Bride? Boy, she was just stunning in that movie. Julian Lennon is 50 years old today. Son, of course, of the Beatle, John Lennon. Donita Sparks of L7 is 50. Izzy Stradlin of Guns N' Roses is 51. John Schneider, who was the dad on Smallville for many seasons, also one of the original Dukes of Hazzard, he is 53 today. And Biz Markie!
Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you.
He's 49 years old today.
Couldn't they drop that a little for him?
If you're not watching the Yo Gabba Gabba, you got to see Biz's beat of the day over there on Yo Gabba.
It's Biz's beat of the day.
He teaches the kids how to beatbox. It's just magical. It's like watching Kevin at a kid's party.
Hey, how dare you?
I'll teach you how to do a beat today.
It's Bill Cosby. He's a fatter, slower Bill Cosby. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk some more about it next hour, but I just want to mention real quick, thank you so much to everybody who bought tickets and joined us Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013. And another great night of comedy. Bill Burr, by the way. He's the best. He's amazing,
awesome.
Right?
He does rule, yeah.
He's so funny. He was everybody was great that night. Everybody was on. But Bill Burr, tremendous closer. Brad Williams, once again, stole the show. You haven't lived till you've seen a little person dance the Gangnam style. Rob Delaney was fantastic. Doug Benson, I think, might have been high. I'm not sure. I think Doug Benson might have smoked out a little bit before he took the stage.
Just a bit, yeah. Okay. And Jay Moore was better than ever, I think.
And Jay Moore was phenomenal, too. It was just a great, 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 great night. We really enjoyed it. There's a bunch of pictures. There's a whole gallery of photos from April Foolishness if you want to check that out at KROQ.com. And while you're there, you might also want to check out a brand new photo layout with our friend Lux, who is Miss Double December 2013, and she joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Lux.
Good morning, everybody.
It was so great to see you again in person on Saturday night because we really haven't seen you much since Acoustic Christmas, I guess. We've had some lean months here without you.
I know. I've missed you guys so much. But, you know, what better time for us to get back together than April Fool's? I had a blast.
Yeah, what'd you think of the show? Who was your favorite?
You know what? I have to say Brad. Not only because he Supermaned me backstage and pumped my leg as a welcome back.
As he does.
Sure.
No, he literally Supermaned. I was sitting in my chair, and he Supermaned me and humped my leg for a full 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That's a new record.
He did that to me, too, so don't feel special.
but you know, just his whole set, I mean, he had everyone in that whole theater just dying. He got a standing ovation. Yep. I was very honored to be able to announce him along with Lisa May and Chip, and he really did steal the show. He did such a great job. I'm so happy and proud of him.
And by the way, the girls came out on stage, as you mentioned, Lux. You guys came out to bring Brad out, and you motorboated Chip, and I think she's still dizzy from it. I think she's bruised and she's dizzy just from spending a few seconds between your breasts.
Well, she couldn't breathe is the problem.
She couldn't breathe, yeah.
You cut off oxygen to her brain.
I apologize. Sorry.
Well, Lux looked amazing on Saturday night, by the way. How tall are you, by the way? I always forget until I see you that you're an Amazon.
Yes, I'm 5'8", without the heels.
Without the 3-inch heels.
Yeah, without the big heels, right.
I think the heels I wore there were like 4 or 5 inches.
Oh, my God.
and then a couple heels. More inches from the tiara, so you end up being pretty tall. Well, I mentioned KROQ.com. We have the photos from Foolishness, and then also a new photo shoot that you did. Tell us about this, and I should mention not safe for work, right?
Yes. Yes, you should.
Not safe for work is what we're saying. Absolutely not safe for work. No, the Google safe searches would be on. But for the last few months, I've been trying to coordinate a special photo shoot for Kevin and Bean fans. And, you know, Mike Prado, who also did the last couple of shoots for the Miss Double Decembers, like, does amazing work. So with our schedules, we're trying to just coordinate something as soon as possible, and as soon as we finally did it, you know, we had to have, of course, you know, the sexy bikini, had to have the lingerie, and then of course
I think that bikini's a little too small for you.
She is kind of busted out.
Just a little too small.
Like postage stampish. I mean, I thought it was an appropriate size.
Oh, appropriate.
Fantastic. And by the way, this Mike Prado that you mentioned, you can find his work at PradoPhoto.com. PRADOFOTO. PradoPhoto.com for Mike. And you're right. He does phenomenal work. But this first couple of photos, you're wearing this red thing. I guess it's a bikini. It looks like it's crocheted is what it looks like.
It's kind of like red yarn, you know, braided here and there.
Yeah, but only like a couple of pieces.
Yeah, but I mean, you couldn't wear something like that out. There's no way you could walk in that and not have it slide and show parts that can't be seen. I mean, they have to just basically put that on you, and you have to hold your breath while they take the photo so it doesn't slip, I imagine, right?
There was very strategically placed double-sided tape, and actually Mike had to help me. So, you know.
Right. How nice of Mike. How generous of Mike.
He was very, 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 very nice.
I see you're wearing several different bikinis in the photo shoot. Again, you can see this at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. And in some cases, you're just wearing the sash on top. There's no bikini top at all. That looks uncomfortable.
No, you know what?
How could you possibly?
It's very comfortable. I mean, it's soft and silky, and, you know, it seems to provide a great support. So we said, why not? You know, we'll just use that to cover it.
That's the sexiest picture. What's wrong with you, Bean?
No, I'm not saying. Look, I'm not saying I don't love it. I'm just saying Lux is suffering for her art. That's all.
All right.
Not that I care that it's uncomfortable. I just want to acknowledge that the woman put in some tough work. Oh man, these are great. These are beautiful photos. Really, really nice.
Thank you. You should be very proud.
And you've been going all over the place since the last time we talked to you, right? You've been doing lots of music videos and stuff like that.
Yeah. I've been working a lot, been able to travel a lot for work, so I've been very thankful that, you know, been keeping busy, but, you know, definitely favorite thing the last few weeks is coming back to April Foolishness, because I haven't been to a show since I last saw you guys.
That's true.
In December.
I know. That's true. I know. We suck. I mean, this has just been, it's been a terrible year for us for not having things come together. We've talked about doing some stuff, and I'm sure we'll have some other things coming up that we'll get a chance to hang out with. We got to get a singles party going, right, guys? How long has it been since one of those?
Yeah. Way too long.
So we'll keep you posted, Lux, and let you know as soon as we know anything. So go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you want to see brand new photos from our current Miss Double December, Lux, who we love so much. You should follow her on Twitter, too, because she works all the time and she's always posting great photos of the stuff that she's doing. And her Twitter is at Luxiboo, L-U-X-I-B-O-O, and the website is ilovelux.com. So glad we got a chance to see you on Saturday night. It was really fun hanging out. So thanks a lot for coming to the show.
So much. Fun. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Lex.
Hi, Lex.
As you know, Coachella Week is here. If you were not able to get your three-day passes, you are not out of luck because we are continuing to give them away here at K-Rock all week long, in fact, from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Throughout the entire day, you have chances to win Coachella tickets, including this morning between 9 and 10. So that is on the way starting in about half an hour or so. You'll have a chance to win those tickets coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you guys heard this shocking comment from President Obama. The incredibly demeaning and sexist thing that he said to a woman. I mean, it's amazing that he's still in office when you consider how out of line this comment was.
Listen for
a man in power to be able to demean a woman. Well, I shouldn't put words in the president's mouth. Maybe I should just read it so people can make up their own mind just how bad it is. Like, is it horrible or is it worse than that?
Impeachable?
Maybe impeachable, Kevin. That's an excellent point. Thank you. He was doing a fundraiser Thursday in California for his close personal friend, it turned out, a friend of he and Michelle. He is friends with the California Attorney General, whose name is Kamala Harris, and her husband, and has been for years. So they are close. So he's doing a fundraiser for her, and here's what the president said about her. You have to be careful to, first of all, say she is brilliant, and she is dedicated, and she is tough, and she's exactly what you'd want in anybody who is administering the law and making sure that everybody is getting a fair shake. And that's all fine. Nobody's disagreeing with him saying any of that. Then he goes off the rails when he adds, quote, she also happens to be by far the best-looking attorney general in the country, end quote.
Oh, bastard.
Firestorm. Firestorm.
He may as well have said, I only love her for her body.
Exactly.
Not seriously, though. You're not serious.
I am not
okay,
serious.
Okay, thank God.
He basically is calling her a pole dancer. He basically
not
is saying,
calling her
this
that at
whore.
All.
A whore.
This whore. How dare she? Well, it sounds like we're joking, but some people are essentially saying that, talking about how that comment was stupid, how that comment was sexist, how we should be past that. We should be. I mean, here's one example. Here's a radical idea. How about a world where women can simply exist without comments about their appearance? For instance, that's one. And it just goes on and on and on from there for people who are saying that it was completely out of line for the president to mention her appearance at all. Now, some people have mentioned that the president seems to be not obsessed with people's looks, but he has made lots of comments in the past about men and women. Some of the men, for instance, include the HUD secretary, Sean Donovan, who last February called him a good-looking guy. He pointed
that
out his secretary,
a hot piece of ass, I'll tell you
he
that
pointed
right
out
now.
His secretary of the interior last March, calling him a good-looking guy, and a couple months ago said the same thing about his secretary of the Navy, who was a man. So apparently he just notices attractive people, I guess. But
and
when you say
equal
it,
opportunity.
And when you say it about a woman, though, apparently it is offensive to some people.
Now,
what's up with that?
They made a big enough stink that he apologized, right?
Yes. He called, even though he's close friends with her, and she took no offense because of the firestorm around it. The White House Press Secretary Jay Carney announced today that the president had called her over the weekend to apologize.
I'd like to hear that call. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's like, well,
seriously,
you know.
I still find you hot, but I got to take it back. I'm sorry, I got to take it back.
The fact that
it's
they're
politics.
Close friends, really, like if he didn't know her, that would be inappropriate. But the fact that they're
hold
close
on, hold
friends,
on, hold on. If he didn't know her, that would be inappropriate, just barely.
Yeah, just
I mean,
barely.
Come on.
But I mean, as the president, if you really don't know someone at all, and then you're coming, I could kind of see that, but
he knows her and they're friends. And
yeah. And he knows
he's
her husband.
Her, right? It's,
yeah.
Right.
And because he's president, and I just feel like. Some people are so freaking sensitive. And the other thing is there's a group of people who are always gunning for the president, whoever he is. And they're
That's
probably
true.
The first that came out.
That's true.
All right. So I'd be interested to hear from women. And I it's hard for me to put myself in your shoes and to know what it's like to, you know, to live in a world for many people, especially in business situations where your looks are the thing that most people comment on. I mean, where your looks are your leading edge, you know,
but
in a lot of
that
cases.
That was like the last thing
That was the last thing
he said.
In this case, it was. Yeah. But But I'm sure that looking through the prism of someone else's experience, maybe that's why they got offended. And I'd be curious to hear from women who do think it was out of line for the president to make any comment at all about her looks. I'd like to know where that's coming from, and maybe you could explain that a little bit to me, because I it is different from my experience. But I'd love to hear it from people at 1-800-520-1067. You can give us a call and talk about this. I mean, Lisa, you're kind of a good example in that you know us real well. And if we were doing an interview about the Kevin and Bean Show and we said, we love Lisa, she's a lot of fun, she's, you know, does a great job with the traffic, she's, you know, great on the interviews or whatever, and we added up a whole bunch of stuff that you do, and then we said, and she's also pretty easy on the eyes, would you consider that some sort of a slight that we kind of added on your looks as if they have anything to do with your job on the radio?
Not at all. Not at all.
It has more to do about your job than any of your capabilities.
And we all know it.
Now, how about if the president had made some comment about the person being unattractive? Would that have been different in any way?
Well yeah. Because nobody does that.
Yeah, you can't.
That's just mean.
You can't be insulting and mean, especially as the president. You can't say, and wow, what a dog. Woo, look at that ugliness. You can't do that because you're the president. But I don't know. It just seems like it's much ado about nothing.
I agree.
And he did call her the best looking attorney general in the world. He didn't say she has the sweetest ass of anyone I've ever met.
Or what a rack.
Yeah, like check out the rack. Seriously.
By the way, I haven't, he could be right. She's pretty attractive. I haven't seen too many other attorneys general around the country, but I bet he's right about that.
Yeah, I don't think he cares. I think he was just throwing it off.
He wasn't really doing a scientific study.
It was an offhanded comment, and people just decided they needed to get their feelings hurt. But we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067.
Well, now it's just out of hand. Listen to this statement President Obama just made about the passing of Margaret Thatcher, former British Prime Minister. The world has lost one of the great champions of freedom and liberty, and America's lost a true friend, and you should have seen her in a thong. I mean, that
really?
What's going on with the president here? Just left and right, these comments.
So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh? Blam! They on us like there's no tomorrow. High school chicks, university chicks, it don't matter.
That's a great point, Mr. President. Thank you. We're going to take your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 about the comment that the president made on Thursday about the California Attorney General Kamala Harris. Here it is again, the quote. You have to be careful to, first of all, say she is brilliant and she is dedicated and she is tough and she is exactly what you want in anybody who is administering the law and making sure that everyone gets a fair shake. She also happens to be, by far, the best-looking attorney general in the country, end quote. And a lot of people are calling out the president. In fact, he had to apologize to her because he said she was good looking. People are outraged, it seems like. Let's find out who these people are, and April will get us started. She is on line one, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, April. Thanks for calling and holding on. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. What it do?
What it do?
What it do, indeed. So the president made this remark to his friend, Kamala Harris. Appropriate or no?
I find it inappropriate. And honestly, I wouldn't have cared even just 6 months ago that he said anything like that. It doesn't matter to me. However, I've recently experienced discrimination in my own workplace because of my looks. And so now I'm hypersensitive, and I don't think it should matter what anybody looks like. Why was it even necessary to go there?
But it didn't. He didn't say it mattered. It was just sort of an offhanded comment.
I know, but I guess just because of what I'm part
what
of
happened?
A sales team. I'm part of a sales team. We were going out on a sales call for a new building development, and the manager of our department, said that I should stay there, and instead he took the receptionist, who happens to be super playboy hot.
Right.
So he took her, and she had absolutely nothing to do with the sales call. So I'm just sensitive to it, I guess. I mean,
it sounds like what you're saying is even in your own experience, and maybe in the experience of the attorney general also, no matter how much you accomplish, no matter how good you are at your job, if you're a woman, looks are always going to be a factor to some people, and that's what the outrage is about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's a true statement. I mean, it's science. You know what I mean? Like, it just is.
Well, but you guys are successful. I mean,
but we're way sexist, and we're ugly. We got both of those going.
We're ugly.
Thank you for the call, April. Good luck with your job. Appreciate that. Lindsay writes in on Twitter: had to hang up, couldn't hang on because I'm at work. But there's a double standard. Definitely, men's looks are almost never discussed in a professional setting. which I think is true. Although I don't know. Having said that, I just watched Mad Men last night, and there have been several references to that show about how great looking Don Draper is. On top of the fact that he also is a great ad man, it's not like they don't mention it on the show.
That's a good point.
And I only know what I see on TV because I don't know any actual people. You know,
he's not in society.
let's try Veronica. How about Veronica on line four? Let's see what she's got to say here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Veronica.
Hi, good morning.
What do you think about what President Obama said?
I find that there's absolutely nothing wrong. They are acquaintances. They are friends. I just believe that if women really wanted the respect for being smart and obtaining a very, you know, good job and everything like that, women need to stop focusing so much on their looks. If they opted more for suits that covered up a little more as opposed to showing...
Hey, whoa! Take it easy, Veronica.
But that's not the case with the California Attorney General. She dresses very conservatively, something appropriate for her job. She's not doing that.
Making a big firestorm over this, the women that want to be just recognized for their brains, not their looks, stop focusing so much on them.
Let me ask you this, Veronica, and here's a perfect example. I can't believe we haven't mentioned her before. What about former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who's one of the most accomplished women in the history of the government? She was a senator. She was a Secretary of State. She had a long, distinguished career in politics. You always saw people commenting about her looks. Always.
But
people
that's
always
because,
talked about her looks.
But that's because she was almost aggressively ugly. Like, almost aggressively. Like, would it kill you to put on a little makeup?
But I think that's the point of this whole discussion.
Little.
But that's the point of this whole discussion, Kevin, is why does it matter what Hillary Clinton looks like if she's doing a great job as Secretary of State? Why do we care what she looks like? It's because she's a woman. That's the point of this discussion, I think.
And on that schedule that she was on, her time was...
impossible.
She had no time
to
worry about that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's do one more. How about Maria? Maria's on line two, and she'll wrap this up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Hi, Maria. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how are you?
We are good. What say you?
You know, I just think it's an absolutely ridiculous conversation, but I really love that we're talking about it. The first thing is, there are so many pea brains in this world that are focusing that it's a sexist comment. Can't we just look at it for what it is? The woman's beautiful. What, are we blind? If I were to see you and I'd say, oh, baby, your tie is so beautiful or you are so beautiful, is that sexist? We see some woman wearing a beautiful dress or a beautiful china or a beautiful tree and we say, oh, that's beautiful. Is it sexist? I don't understand why we have to put them together. Is if a woman is talented, educated, smart, funny, whatever, and if she's beautiful, that there has to be a tagline attached to it. I just think it's ridiculous. Why can't we just notice beauty for beauty and not have some sexual connotation attached to it?
Well, the president apparently disagrees because he called to apologize for calling her attractive.
Well, that doesn't mean he disagrees.
It doesn't at all.
I think he called to apologize to appease the pea brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Maria. I appreciate that. One more comment from the email, by the way, that says, now I've completely lost it here. You know who's offended? This is Allison who writes in, ugly women who never get that kind of compliment. That's who's offended. Maybe so. Find out what happened when the Armenian comedian opened our April Foolishness show Saturday night with his hilarious chunk on the Armenian genocide. We will talk about that and play some tape from the show coming up right after the top of the hour, plus your Coachella tickets next hour. First, though, Ralph's got the show to speak. Good morning, Ralph.
Not to continue on with the conversation you guys were having earlier, but, you know, a lot of politicians take a lot of shots for all different kinds of physical appearances all the time. It has nothing to do with being a woman or not. Governor Chris Christie has been said publicly many times he'll never be elected president because he's just too fat to be president. There's no way people would vote for a man that fat.
He is pretty fat.
John Boehner has had more orange fake tan jokes than you could shake a stick at.
That's true.
Joe Biden with his hair plugs has taken his share. Obama's giant ears that stick out. I mean, those people just take shots from both sides of the aisle for whatever reason, positive or negative. It's hardly the rarefied atmosphere of just women who have to put up with that stuff. All kinds of politicians have many references to their physical appearance, which has absolutely nothing to do with their ability to deliver in their job performance.
Although with Chris Christie, he might not live. He's so fat. Is that what you mean?
That's not what I mean. Not the point I was trying to bring up.
Sorry.
But people ignore the fact that a lot of these guys get hit for bad reasons. Bubba. Bill Clinton was called fat quite a bit when he was fat.
Was he?
Yeah. He had to have heart surgery to lose some weight. So, you all comes around and goes around, people. Top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Evil Dead, number one at the box office, $26 million. Made number one, G.I. Joe Retaliation and the Croods, number two. Jurassic Park in the 3D re-release was fourth at the box office with about $18 million. Olympus Has Fallen was fifth. Tyler Perry's Temptation, Oz, The Great and Powerful, The Host, The Call, and then Admission, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Jenna Jameson's birthday celebration did not turn out as well as she might like.
Uh-oh.
She was going to have some quality time in Newport Beach, California, Saturday night, when she allegedly assaulted someone before the party even got started.
Wow.
No real details about what's going on here, but the alleged victim put Jenna Jameson under citizen's arrest.
All right.
After the fight, the police officer eventually showed up and cited Jenna for battery, and she was later released. So we'll have more details as that investigation continues.
I'm fascinated with citizens.
If someone's beat me up, I'm not going to try to arrest them. I'm going to try to run away from them. I'm not going to... Ow, ow. Okay, you know what? Now you're under arrest. Ow, ow. You're under arrest.
And who's going to take you seriously if you tell them as a citizen that they're under arrest?
I don't know. I guess you have to sit on someone and call the cops, and then when they get there, you've done your job.
You should talk to people who've made a citizen's arrest.
That would be cool. I'm just going to start making arrests for all kinds of things. Parking violations, anything. This is great. Ray J is back in the news. You may remember that name. He was porn star Kim Kardashian's first co-star in her legendary porn movie that made her a household name.
That's what started
it. Started her career.
And he was an R&B singer, if I remember correctly. He's Brandy's brother, right? Yeah. Ray J?
Yep. He is back in the spotlight. Well, he's put himself back there by releasing a song that's all about the fact that, sure, Kim Kardashian now is carrying Kanye West's baby, and they're a couple, but he hit it first.
But, wait a minute, wasn't that...
I hit it first.
10 years ago?
Sure. Well, 12? Then that's even further proof he hit it first. All the other basketball players and rappers that have been there since, he blazed the trail. They're just following a path. That's what his point is. Here's a little taste of his new song. I hit it first.
Ray J, Bobby Bracken, yeah. She might move on to rappers and ball players, but we all know I hit it first. Mm-hmm. I hop in the club and bop a show love, and I don't even put in work. I hit it, 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 I hit it first.
What do you say?
Yeah! Had her head going north and her butt going south. Now the bitch decides to go west. Yeah! It's on!
So Kanye will have him killed, right?
No, he's going to release a response song.
Right,
yeah. Go back and forth, making a battle, yo. That song's ridiculous, but it is kind of catchy.
Is it?
I can see getting out there on the dance floor and shaking my groove thang to I hit it, 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 I hit it.
That's what Obama said to that woman. Did you guys hear that?
Would you stop with the... Oh! And Tadoff Switler in the news. Evil succubus Tadoff Switler. Popular country pop singer Tadoff Switler. Daughter of Satan, Tadoff Switler.
Lost the Entertainer of the Year award last night at the ACMs, Kevin
oh
Ralph. You'd be happy to know.
I can't believe I lost. She had the shock face, though, even though she lost. She did, however, take a young man as her date to the Academy of Country Music Awards in Vegas this weekend.
Oh, no. Now what?
Well, here's the thing. He was a dude who asked Taylor Swift to go to his prom last year. Kevin McGuire of Stratford, New Jersey, asked her to go, but he had some health issues.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So she couldn't go with him. Then she invited him to be her date at some other event, but he was not healthy enough to travel. So he had a bone marrow transplant. I assume it's leukemia he's suffering from his little brother, and he was well enough to last night to go to the ACMs with Taylor this year. So she finally got a chance to use his illness as a promotional stunt. So I'm glad to see that.
Or to answer his dying request and make a man happy before he goes.
Or she's able to milk publicity out of his cancer, which I think is just adorable. So congratulations.
She's cute in that evil kind of way.
They went out, and then apparently today, Taylor is releasing a new single called I Will Never, Ever, Ever Go Out With You Again Because You Have Cancer. So that'll be their new single.
That's inappropriate.
That's Tadoff Swindler and her masses outside the ACMs last night. ACMs, VCAs, CCMs. How many goddamn country award shows are there?
There are two. There's the ACM and the CMA.
No, there's more than that.
Those are the only two.
Bean was watching closely last night.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Schneider. John Schneider, who was one of the Dukes of Hazzard, who was Superman's dad,
mm-hmm.
also had a number one country single. Had a number one country hit. Yeah,
that's
right. Anybody can make a country. I keep telling you this. Anybody can.
I think you need to prove that.
Take the long way home. That was his song. It was very popular. We'll get a little one from the next hour to give you a little taste of John Schneider, country singer.
He did, I think his number one, Ralph, it's been a while, but I think it was a cover of Elvis Presley's It's Now or Never. I think that was his big hit.
All right.
Punch you right now.
John Schneider is 53 years old. Izzy Stradlin from Guns N' Roses is 51. Danita Sparks of L7 is 50. Julian Lennon, son of John Lennon, turns 50 years old today. His father was shot and killed at the age of 40, by the way. We keep forgetting about
that.
That's
crazy.
It seemed like he was old at the time when we heard the news, but then you realize it's pretty young. Biz Markie, rapper, is 49 years old. Robin Wright is 47. Patricia Arquette turns 45. And actor Taylor Kitsch celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The K-Rock. Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, we were there for the 4th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. A great, great evening. I want to thank once again our good friends Jay Moore and Rob Delaney, Doug Benson, Bill Burr, Brad Williams, and Ari Shafir for doing phenomenal work. Also, DJ Mike Realm, by the way, I don't think we mentioned much today. I heard from so many people who were like, I would have just stayed just to watch him mix.
Yeah,
he was
cool.
So great.
It was very cool.
Just did a super job. And we did have a little bit of a surprise for people at the very beginning of the show. And that is the Armenian comedian. And I think I explained on stage that we didn't really talk much about Sam being on the show before the tickets went on sale because we were afraid people wouldn't buy them.
Of course, yeah.
Once we already had him there and they were a captive audience and they were already in their seats, that's when we decided to let Sam go out. And we really didn't know how it was going to go, right?
Well, no, we had no idea. We were taking bets on Friday.
Is he on the phone?
Yes, he is on the phone. He is listening.
We were taking bets on Friday how long he would last because we thought he would go the whole 5 minutes.
Sure, we did.
Well, we had 5 minutes scheduled for him, but let's face it, you're a brand new comedian playing to 6,000 people, many of whom already hate you before you open your mouth because of your many appearances on the Kevin and Bean Show. We knew that it was likely that he wouldn't survive the whole set. Now, we're going to talk to Sam in a second. We do have him on hold, but I think we want to play some of what happened on Saturday night.
I'm Armenian. What's that? Oh, come on. Why don't you go and ask Noah's Ark in Armenia Mountain? Still exists there, but still is not even is still frozen.
Okay, so why don't you go ask the Ark what an Armenian is?
Right. People are booing pretty hard right now.
The Ark that is still frozen.
By the way, right now is April 24th, is the Armenian Genocide Day.
Right then. And Bean and I were on the side of the stage, and we were looking at each other like, I don't know, has he lost him enough yet? Do we go pull him? It was our job to pull him.
Because we wanted to give him appropriate amount of time, a fair shake. Let him win the audience over if that's what's going to happen. But he was already, like, there were lots of boos. And then when he got to the genocide chunk, we just knew that there was no way that was going to end well for
him. Right now is April 24th, is the Armenian Genocide Day.
We started walking.
You know what? We'll be still being genocide every day by the whole Muslim. They are fighting against each other.
And there goes the crowd.
Yeah, bam. He's lost him. He's lost him.
Seriously, Sam.
Why would Sam go,
ha! Oh, no.
Because that's the noise that's usually reserved for nailed it.
Sam, why would you say, ha, when everybody starts booing?
Because I wanted to over boo them over them.
You wanted to over boo them over them.
Gotcha. Sam, first of all, thank you for being there Saturday night. How do you feel it went?
You know, I fooled them. That's what I did. I fooled them.
You fooled. Oh, April Foolishness. I get it. You fooled them.
Yeah.
And how did you fool them, Sam?
About my history, about my background, about what I am about, you know, that's all.
Okay, you didn't fool them as much as tell them.
Was that all a lie?
Well, I think I fooled them too, because it's April Fool's Show.
Okay. I'm even more confused now than I was on Saturday. Do you feel that it went well? Did you accomplish what you hoped to on stage at April Foolishness Saturday?
Without you, I couldn't do Kevin and Bean, and I did it. Thank you very much.
You did do it. That's true. And there's also there's also video up at kevinandbean.com of you meeting your fans at April Foolishness, along with a new pictorial of Lux, Miss Double D.
Miss Double D.
So you'll go there for Sam, but you'll stay for Lux.
Exactly. You met a lot of people on Saturday night who have been big fans of yours for a long time, right, Sam?
Oh, yes. And then also I gave my CDs away a little bit. And, it's called newvaultmusic.com.
Right.
So check it out and order it. You'll have fun.
Take it easy,
dance
Sam.
With it.
Okay. Yeah. Sam, I want to ask, because we did speak with you a couple of times leading up to the show about the material you were preparing. Was the idea all along to talk about the Armenian genocide at a comedy show? Was that the plan going in?
Sort of, it was in my plan, but mostly was my jokes. But when they said boo, and I said, okay, I'll show you what boo means, you know.
But if they're booing you, don't you want to go funnier rather than
darker?
I don't know. It seems like genocide. There are very few comedians that can take on that topic and actually make it work. And I don't believe you're one of them.
You know what? I'm trying to be funny, and they don't let me to be funny.
Oh, so they gave you a chance to be funny. It's just I don't think they felt like you were being funny.
Now, you had some – I mean, there were definitely some people laughing. Not everybody was booing. Most people were crying. There was a lot of that, a lot of crying going on in the audience at your set. But it's just – it's weird that you thought you were losing the crowd, so you thought you'd show them – you mean like punish them by now bringing up the genocide? You were trying to hurt the audience?
You know, I'm trying to say, look at what's going on now. It is repeating history.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. But, Sam, our point is that you're not a professor in a college class of history. Here at April Foolishness. So maybe that's the wrong venue to bring up genocide.
Excuse me. Every comedians are there to preach, not to be a comedian. They are preaching. The comedians are preachers.
It's funny because all the other comedians were being comedians.
They were just telling jokes. Did you see any of the other professional comedians that night, Sam? Did you watch some of the other acts?
No, because the next guy, I don't know. He's talking about two kids are punching his nose. Oh.
Rob Delaney, very funny. Yes.
Hold on, I want to hear Sam mock him.
What is going on? What is so funny about that? Every day that happens.
All right,
you don't have to say that on the stage.
Okay, but Sam, let me just ask.
Boo for him.
Okay.
How about that?
But Sam, let me just
laughing at him.
Yeah, let me just bring up a point. The crowd was booing you. The crowd was laughing for him. So it's not like, I mean, that just happened. That's science.
Because you know what? American audience, no matter what you do, they laugh, you know? You shake your neck, they laugh. You make your funny voice, they laugh. But, you know, they don't take the reality what's going on as a joke. I'm telling a joke with the reality what's going on, and they don't take it, so they are dumb.
So the audience is dumb.
So the audience, it was the audience's
fault.
All right,
I can settle for that.
The fact that your Armenian genocide chunk didn't go over well proves that the audience is dumb. Got it.
That's right.
You're the
there
best.
There we go. Okay. All right.
And that is why we love you.
Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Ralph.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, starting with number one, Evil Dead. The reboot in its debut weekend made $26 million.
You are all going to die tonight.
I have a question for Kevin, who saw the film over the weekend.
Yes.
It sounded like, from the hype leading up to it and the promos and the commercials and everything, that it might be one of the scariest movies ever made.
No.
What did you think?
I thought it was scary. Not one of the scariest ever made.
Interesting.
But it was scary. It was good. I really enjoyed it, but, you know, come on.
Did they all die tonight?
You are all going to die tonight.
Pretty much.
All?
Let me think. All.
Wow.
You are all going to die tonight.
The movie lives up to its promises.
Spoiler alert. I should have said that earlier. Sorry.
I think we all knew pretty well.
Sorry, everyone.
They were all in trouble.
Yeah, you don't go to a movie called Evil Dead because you're insisting on everyone living.
It's not Pixar's Evil Dead.
Nope. You know. They started dying early, too, which I enjoyed.
G.I. Joe Retaliation and the Croods were tied for second place with $21 million apiece. Then Jurassic Park in its 3D re-release made $18.2 million, good enough to make it number four. Olympus Has Fallen rounded out the top five. The next five were Tyler Perry's Temptation, Oz the Great and Powerful, The Host, The Call, and Admission. That's your top ten from the box office this weekend. I told you so. I told you the Star Trek phaser rifle was going to go for big money.
You were way too excited about that.
Because it's awesome. I'd love to have the Star Trek phaser rifle.
Wouldn't you rather have a phaser pistol like
no,
they used in the entire
series? Everybody had one of those. Sulu had one and McCoy had
but
one.
But that makes it more...
All the red-shirted death guys had one.
Okay.
But the phaser rifle was a unique piece of Star Trek memorabilia. Only Shatner used that.
But they didn't use it.
He did. He used it to trap Gary Lockwood under all that rock because he'd become the power of a god.
In one episode. And then they said, you know what, that rifle?
I have the
not
power
good.
Of a god, Jim. And all the phalanx of a human. He hit that phaser blast and the rocks came a-tumbling down. But pilot episode. Pilot.
Right. But then in episode two on, they said, you know, that rifle sucks.
It's so powerful. Let's lock away the phaser rifle because it's too dangerous to be used.
Right.
Anyway, went up for auction this weekend. Sold for a record $231,000.
That is crazy.
It's nuts.
It should work for that.
If I could go back in time, I would just go back in time to the 60s and go to the set of Star Trek and just start shoveling all kinds of crap into a box and then just sneak out the pack of the Paramount lot and then just go back in my time machine.
Why not just go back before a huge lottery? Why not do that?
God, that's no fun.
You can win like $300
million. I get to steal from Leonard Nimoy. It'd be awesome.
Ralph, how much, speaking of celebrity and memorabilia, how much did that signed Sgt. Pepper album go for last week? Was that around the same, around $250,000 or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, just around that, yeah.
Isn't that crazy that something signed by all four Beatles goes for just about the same as a prop that was used once on a TV show?
Oh, well, what a show and what a prop. The noise it made. It was awesome.
It's not a good noise.
It's a great noise. Thursday night in New York City, the New Kids on the Block are on stage. They're back. New Kids on the Block have a new CD out. They're performing. They're on stage. Halfway through the show, Jonathan Knight, one of the New Kids on the Block, just walks off the stage.
What?
And doesn't come back.
Why?
No one really knows.
That's awesome.
Onlookers say he didn't seem too interested in performing that night.
He just said, what am I doing?
When it came time for his solo vocal on the song Survive You, which apparently is one of their hits, I'm not familiar, he started singing, then gave up and left the building, say witnesses.
I have audio of that song if you'd like to hear it.
Okay, let's play that audio.
And right there he walked off.
That's a different sound for the band.
Will you two never get tired of that joke?
That's correct.
Jonathan, after the show, tweeted simply, I'm sorry.
He just left. He just didn't have the heart to go on? I've never heard of that.
He's like, oh. He just walked off the stage.
That is awesome.
That is awesome. You know what's not awesome? Who they're talking about to replace Joy Behar on The View.
Who?
Star Magazine says the actress that wants it desperately, Kirstie Alley.
Oh, yeah. I could
no!
see that.
Ralph, you don't watch that show anyway.
No, but this, just knowing it's out there will make me sleep
less
well at night. She's very opinionated and mouthy, so I can see why she would think she'd be appropriate for that show. Still no word yet. Other names being thrown around for the job are Allie Wentworth and Brooke Shields to be on The View.
She'd be interesting.
I think she would be interesting. She's a right-thinking
smart
American.
Girl.
Who did she have the big battle with, Brooke Shields? It was Tom Cruise, right?
Mm-hmm.
About this, because she took antidepressants when she had postpartum depression. She said it saved her life. And Tom Cruise said that
she should have
don't
run
go to a psychiatrist,
and taken
they kill you.
Vitamins.
That's right. Vitamins and exercise do the exact same thing for you. I would have said cocaine. What do I know? And Taylor Swift.
The devil.
The devil. Listen, she's horrible.
Tate Oswitler.
But it sounds as if she did a pretty nice thing. There was a kid named Kevin McGuire from Stratford, New Jersey. He asked Taylor to be his prom date last year, but apparently he is suffering from leukemia, and he was not healthy enough to take her. Oh, wait, but she said no.
Dodged a bullet.
She said no. That's right.
Oh,
that's okay. Right. I forgot that part. She said no. But she did invite him to be her date at the Academy of Country Music Awards in Vegas last year. Well, he had to back out because he wasn't healthy enough. This year, he is feeling better after getting a bone marrow transplant from his little brother. So Taylor took him to the ACMs last night. So she made good on her promise to use the disease of a young man to help promote her own self-image in the press by milking cancer for all the publicity it's worth. So good for you, Taylor Swift. Well,
I know you hate. I know you hate Taylor.
Nice work, Taylor. I'm glad you took advantage of that sickly young man. That's good.
I think I'm going to turn you around here because she did perform last night on the ACM.
Really?
What song did she do? Do you have some audio from that?
I do have a clip. This is Taylor from last night. Oh, tell me if this doesn't change your mind about how much you love her. I mean, how can you hate that? Come on.
If that was her, I would love her.
That's true. That's her new performance.
Speaking of country music, as we look at today's celebrity birthdays, John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard was wildly popular with the country music set, that show. He was also the dad on Smallville. But he had a run in the 80s where he had all kinds of, like, top 10 country smash hit singles.
He's a legitimate star, yeah.
Huge, huge country music star. Further proof that I say anyone can have a hit country song.
You want to hear him?
Here's one of them.
Take a long way home.
Seems like he sings all right.
She won't wait up tonight.
But it's that, you just have to do that voice and you can have a hit. As long as you do that, you're in. If you just make that noise, you can make money.
That's true.
If you just do that song, you can have a hit. I don't have to say anything. Just that. Listen, here.
Lyrics don't matter.
Doesn't matter. Just make that noise.
That song only went to number 10. I'm looking it up online here. It went to number 10.
Oh,
but
nearly
I do,
number 10.
I do have a clip from John Fetter's first number
one. I'd
like
to hear that because I don't know any of his music.
Yeah, it was a big time number one in 1984. Here's John Fetter. It was a little different for the country charts back then. I was just impressed.
No goat whore, no pug singing Batman. You got nothing else? I mean, nothing else in the chute there? You want to get out of your way?
If you want it, we do have it.
No, you don't. Look at Beer Mug. Wow, that's different for country music. That sure doesn't sound like John Schneider. He has changed a lot since he recorded that song.
That song only went to number 10. I just looked it up.
Rest of today's birthdays, Izzy Stradlin from Guns N' Roses is 51. Julian Lennon turns 50. Biz Markie, rapper and a Yo Gabba Gabba star, turns 49. Robin Wright is 47. Patricia Arquette is 45 years old. And actor Taylor Kitsch. He was from that Friday Night Light show, right?
He was Riggins, yeah. Right.
Riggins! Right. Yeah!
He was Riggins! He perhaps should have stuck to television based on the way some of his movies have turned out for him.
Yeah.
Where should it go? You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross.
All right.
You're the fly in my beard. You're the key that God lost.
Got it. It's diametrically opposed to the song I'm talking
about. It's
not
the same song.
That's the comedy.
Right.
There. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Never gets old.
Nope.
To us. All right. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin DeBean show, what are Bitcoins?
Bitcoins are a...
I'm not asking you now. We're going to talk about it tomorrow morning.
You're looking at me. Ask the question. Trying to help you out. I'm responding.
I do get the impression, Ralph, and we'll learn more about this tomorrow on the show, but I get the impression that I just need to burn all the dollar bills in my wallet. Like, they're worthless now because they're not on the internet. Because the only things that matter in the world are on the internet.
We all will be trading in Bitcoins one day, yes.
Sounds like it. The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices tomorrow. If you've made a citizen's arrest, we're going to need to talk to you.
Yes.
That's fascinating to me.
You're under arrest.
Hannah Simone will be in studio. From New Girl. And Strange Addiction, Addicted to Butt Injections. Tomorrow morning on an all-new show.
Kevin.
You heard me. And we've got your 3-day passes for Coachella as well tomorrow morning on an all-new show.